awesome morning party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, duty. Hey, duties.
It is Thursday. It is Team Awesome Morning Party.
We are excited.
Yeah, we are. Welcome to July 24th, 2014. Woke up, talked some Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing.
Dude, I'm excited.
Me too.
We got a big day today. We are in full force for Theology Thursday.
Yes, we are.
Pastors Jarrett Petro and Brian Nixon will be joining us. We've got a monstrous show there. We were talking about it yesterday. Really excited about the topics we'll be covering in the 9 o'clock hour. So don't miss that. It's going to be a good time.
Good time.
It's time to wake up.
I've been watching mysteries.
Yeah?
I watched another mystery.
What'd you watch?
Myth Hunters.
Gosh.
I'm almost done with it, though. I'm sad. I'm going to have to find all the other episodes.
Yeah?
They've only got one season on my Netflix.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'll find them. It's a myth that I will hunt down.
Speaking of myths, we'll be talking with Emily Krieger? I believe that's how you say it.
Maybe.
She wrote a book for National Geographic Kids called Myths Busted 2.
Busted!
It's all about myths that you hear. Can't wait to talk to her about these things. That's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We got good stuff. But immediately.
Emilio.
Right now.
It is Matthew from Albuquerque.
Whoa. What's up, Matthew from
You're
Albuquerque?
Getting pretty pro at it, buddy.
Whoa. Yes. And it's been about, 2 years, I believe, since I've been calling in here. So.
About
it's
time.
It's a routine. It's a routine, guys.
Happy about 2 year anniversary.
Yeah, almost.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. And I know my birthday is a long ways away, but there is the countdown there, as well as other useful countdown information, such as registration for incoming freshmen to Volcano Vista, upperclassmen as well. Now, for those underclassmen that are going to be coming into Volcano as a freshman, I'd like to give you guys a little bit of advice. If you guys would like the advice, you guys are more than welcome to contact me via email, mattformabq@gmail.com, or visit my website, site.google.com/site/Matthew from ABQ. Click the contact me button on there and complete the form.
Nice. Here.
This hour of Team Awesome Morning Party brought to you in part by Matthew from Albuquerque. Matthew from Albuquerque. That guy.
And his best friend, Lita Salazar.
294 days until Matthew's 16th birthday.
Matthew. My birthday is August 12th. Can you make a countdown be on there for me?
I'm sure I can. I just got to ask my mom to turn on the internet in my house. We got the neatest thing ever, guys. It's an in-home Wi-Fi router.
Nice.
Even though I don't have the DSL thing up here, you know, we still have that thing put in.
Yeah.
Because it's actually, they put this little cantina thing on the back of your house, and they wire it through the wall, and then they put this little bitty router on the inside you can turn on and off.
Boom.
And I think provides 4G service throughout the house for internet.
4G.
4G.
Now, guys, for those of you who are not sure what 4G LTE is, basically 4G is the fast internet connection.
Gotcha.
3G is okay, but 4G is definitely the best.
What about Edge?
Edge.
Yeah, the Edge Network.
Edge Network. Oh, are you talking about 104.1?
No.
No, gosh, no. The Edge cell phone network.
It's
the Edge.
I'm always on the Edge Network.
Oh.
It's pretty fast, man.
Program.
It only takes like 2 minutes for my Instagram to load.
Yeah. It takes his a
Edge
while.
Network.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like 2 minutes.
Well,
it's lightning fast.
Something.
If lightning took 2 minutes. So.
Huh.
Yeah.
Because I know that there is a network for the network I'm using. I've said it a few times on the air, but I won't say it's in Syracuse Corporation. But
yeah.
For those of you guys that are knowing what the corporation is, it's the biggest one out there. They're the company that offers all that stuff. But beware, the bill is extremely expensive. I already looked at my parents' bill and I'm thinking, how do they pay this?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's crazy. Seriously, just for unlimited talk and text and a shared data plan. Yeah, the data is where they get you.
Yep.
Especially if you go over your data limit, they charge like 100 for every gig you go over. So.
Can that's we play crazy. A song?
It's a mess.
It's a mess.
Someone says a mess is though. Failing class and my bad grades. And wait, I don't have any bad grades.
Wait.
Yep, my grades are pretty good, guys. I passed all my classes last semester.
Yeah.
All A's and one B. The B was in algebra. Well, I'm glad I'm not taking algebra this year. I'm taking geometry.
Nice.
That's awesome.
We're going to play you a song now, Matthew.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. You know what? I got to put this out to my bus driver from last year, Judy.
She's
up and running right now because she has to do summer school. She's driving the summer school route. So
Judy.
She's just up and running.
Maybe she's listening.
Yeah, of course she's listening. I know she's out there driving right now listening to the radio. So good morning, Judy. Don't be singing because I know you're singing. I rode your bus last year. So please spare us all in those things.
There you go. This one going out to Jude's.
Yeah.
Bus driver. From Matthew from Albuquerque.
He's the man.
Steam Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Let the broadcasting of the Disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Now, 6:30 a.m. Dateline, July 24th, 2014. What's going to happen? I'll tell you one thing that's going to happen. Turmoil in the Middle East. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, dude. Tune in for Theology Thursday coming up 9 o'clock. We're going to be talking about that in depth.
Yes, we are.
Going to be cray-cray.
It's going to be cray-cray. A little bit of good news that Dawn shared with me this morning, and I want to share it with the world.
Okay.
Well, with us. The world already knows. The lady from Sudan that was going to be in jail, Sudanese woman who was spared a death sentence for renouncing Islam, has flown to Italy after more than a month in a U.S. embassy. So she got out of the country.
Word.
She got out. This is an update because it was a big situation because they were going to, extend her sentence or she was guilty and they weren't going to carry out the punishment until the kid was 2 years old.
Yeah.
And then she got out of that, but then she got picked up by the Secret Service of the country or something and it was nuts and she's been in the U.S. Embassy for the past month and now she is out. Wow. It's all because she was a Christian and didn't want to convert back to Islam or whatever. Or whatever it is. Yes. And it's a big situation.
Yeah.
I know we talk about persecution a lot lately, but that's for real stuff.
Yeah.
So pray for those people in other countries. Not to mention, pray for you if you have friends in Israel that are stuck there. Because I have my friends Jason and Chelsea Wilkes are in Israel and they can't get out because of all the flight ban from the U.S. and A. So they're stuck there. And pray for those people that are there. Because that's an escalating situation.
Yeah.
It's getting crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yeah, me and Chrissy were planning a trip for next weekend. And we're like, where are we going to go? Well, we were going to just take the weekend and go to Israel. And I guess now we're probably...
Don't do it
now.
Just
go to Durango or something.
Just go. You should just go to Los Alamos. It was voted the number one small town in the U.S. and A.
It's very true.
Yesterday, Doug told me about it.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug. Good morning. Man. Doug's ready.
He is ready.
He's got a big day.
Mid-Dugs with Day.
Today. From 10 to 3.
Yeah, that's right.
It'll be fun. The number of the day is 18. That's bread loaf heels thrown away each year by the average person. I'm guessing that's the first slice. That's what it's called?
I can't do that,
man. A bread loaf heel?
Yeah.
I eat it.
Gross!
No, I think it's good.
It's weird!
I eat it because it's a treasure to me.
It is not a treasure. It's like this weird nub and... The whole end, I don't know.
Eat the nub, man.
I don't pull off the ends. Like I'm cool if it's just an end. But that's like a whole side.
Eat the nub.
Nope. Never.
It's good for you.
No.
Gives you extra protein and glory.
Does it really, though?
Yeah. It's got beta carotene.
Shut up.
It's got electrolytes. It's got protein. It's got methamphetamine. It's got everything in it.
Wait, what?
All the good stuff that you need is in there. A pair of 8-foot boa constrictors were found near an East London Park children's playground. That's
okay.
Where they belong.
Yeah, man.
That's a tale right out of Jumanji.
Yeah, the owners were found eating bread nubs. Mm. Let's see what it did. I tied in the previous story with what I was trying.
You apologize.
Sorry.
Thank you. A British supermarket has become England's first retail outlet to remove itself from the power grid. Uses a special process that generates its electricity from the store's waste. The store, in other words, is powered by Swamp Thing. The rotten food. It's powered by rotten food. The rot.
I'm just saying, that's not Swamp Thing. The rot's the bad guy. You gotta keep it in balance.
It's powering the supermarket.
That's cool.
Maybe he's not so bad after all. Maybe he's not understood.
Or he's biding his time, right? And everybody thinks he's just like, oh, look, I'm so powerless. I can only power a grocery store.
Just one.
I'm building my strength. I tricked you. I'm the bad guy.
If he would eat more bread nubs, he'd be better.
That's true. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Bread heel. It's bread a heel.
Yeah.
Bread loaf heel, not a nub. That's offensive to people.
A nub?
Yeah.
Okay.
The top earning actor again this year is Robert Downey Jr. What movie was he in this year? Oh. He wasn't in a movie this year.
Gosh.
And he's still the top paid actor. Marvel.
Yeah, good job. Well, he was smart.
You know, he did an interview yesterday where he said he's open to Iron Man 4.
Oh, I know.
So he's like, it's one of those things where I'm at the top of my... Whatever. He used an analogy. I can't remember.
He wasn't ready to relinquish the belt or something.
That's
like
what
that.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read it.
Either way, he's going to go down swinging.
Oh, man. I'm okay with that.
Me too. I like Robert Downey Jr.
Me too.
Be a tough act to follow.
Yeah.
Chrysler's adding to what may be termed recall summer by announcing the recall of nearly 800,000 vehicles.
Oh, no!
So if you're a Chrysler owner, you might want to look into this. For real. I'm always worried about recall stuff. Like, but they never recall Saturns. They gave up on Saturn a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it even a planet anymore?
I don't even know.
Oh, great. Saturn is the diva of planets because of its rings.
Usually recalls are like within the last year or two. So I think we're both good.
How funny would it be if they issued a recall for a 1999 Saturn?
Yeah.
But I
have a 99 Subi.
We were both oh, no. Oh, I better go to the dealership. And then I tried to go, and they were like, oh, cool, we don't make Saturns anymore.
Yeah, and they're like, hey, man, that's 15 years old.
And they gave me directions to the dealership, but it was just out to the desert. And then there was a little sign, and it said, here's some water and some food. You're going to die in 3 days. Because then the recall was because if you drive a Saturn out into the desert, it breaks down forever.
Yeah.
And that's how they get you.
It was a total recall.
Oh, I can remember a different life. I've been a different person. I'm not talking about reincarnation. I'm saying in this life, I am Quaid. I am.
Wait, was he Quaid? What was the little thing called that like came out of the stomach?
I don't know what that was.
Do you remember though? Like there was a guy and it was like, we need to talk to that guy. And then it was like, this little thing inside of his
stomach.
I don't
think that was in the new one.
No. Oh, you didn't see the old
one?
No,
I saw the old
new one.
I saw the old one back in the 80s, and I can't remember.
The little thing, and it reminded me of Krang, actually, from the Turtles, because it was like this little baby that came out. Yeah.
I hate Krang.
Oh, man. I can't wait for Ninja Turtles. I just got mad about Ninja Turtles,
because I think Krang's going to be in it.
No! Come on!
What is it, Dimension Z?
Yeah.
It would be neat. But I hate Krang.
The Utrom Empire.
Boah. A suspect running from the police tried to take refuge inside a building, which turned out to be a police training academy.
That's awesome.
Genius, genius, genius.
I would have just played it off like, hey guys, I'm here for the training exercise. What do you do when...
Say a guy just broke in right
now.
What do you do?
No, these are props. And props to you for doing a good job and serving. All right, well, I gotta go.
All right, let's dance now.
Everybody dance now. Bam, 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 bam. Bam, 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 bam. Bam, bam, bam. Everybody dance now. Bam, bam, bam,
bam, bam, bam. And then they're all dancing, and he's slowly making his way up.
And they're like, hey, where did that guy go? That was
That guy looked like a criminal.
Was that guy an actor, or did we just get fooled? Well, either way, he was really good at his
Either
crowd.
Way, it don't matter, because I love dancing, Barry. Authorities are still searching for a giant anaconda in a New Jersey lake. That's terrifying.
That's good. That's good.
A giant anaconda. Doug, did you see Anaconda? J-Lo was in it.
Mm-hmm. Ice Cube.
It was awful.
Yeah.
It was an awful movie. It looks terrible if you go back
and
watch it.
Did you see it? John Voight was in it.
I saw that movie in the theater.
Me too.
What a mistake.
Oh, it was terrible.
What a mistake.
It's about giant snakes.
What a mistake.
Oh, okay.
I've been hanging out with you way too much. The Great Texas Mosquito Festival, also known as Hell on Earth, begins today in Clute, Texas. Also in Texas, Demon Festival. Also in Texas, This Is the Worst Festival Ever Festival.
Yeah, yeah.
It includes the Mosquito Calling Contest.
Ugh.
Mosquito calling.
I hate mosquitoes.
Doug, can you get more information about mosquito calling? I just want to know what that is. And if it's real. That's stupid. Okay, anyway. After three fruitless days of extensive searching by Wisconsin authorities, an amateur drone pilot located a missing elderly man in a mere 20 minutes. On Sunday, David Lesh volunteered to use his drone to look for the lost 82-year-old man. Lesh flew the drone across a 200-acre field where the man was believed to be, and at a certain point, through the flying robot's camera, he saw him.
That's crazy.
They had been searching for him for three fruitless days. And then this guy found him in 20 minutes with a robot.
That's pretty great.
It's always frustrating when you receive a bill that, without even having to break down the numbers, you know right away is too much. It's even more frustrating when you know the bill is too high because you are not a customer of the company that sent you the bill.
Wait, what?
Just ask the folks at TalkingPointsMemo.com who were a bit confused by the $3,019.95 phone bill they received from Verizon. And just like actual customers who have tried to sort out an incorrect bill, the TPM staff apparently got caught in the revolving door at Verizon customer service, being asked to confirm their account with a number they don't have access to because they do not actually have an account.
Weird!
Eventually, they got through to someone who might possibly be able to help them. This person gave them the name of the person who had supposedly set up the account. No one by that name has ever worked at the company.
Wow.
Interesting.
So do you think Verizon, they're just seeing how far they can go now at this point?
I think somebody set up that account as a false account in the company's name and has been living with a cell phone for free.
Wow.
That's what I think happened.
That's crazy.
I am also a detective. I didn't want to tell anybody, but now that we all know, you should know if you're a criminal, I'm on your case. And I'm going to stay on your case, man, until it gets solved. So you should stay on the run. And if you run into a building where I'm dancing, I'm going to know it's you. I'm not going to get confused. Because That's when good. I dance, I'm for real. I am surveying everything around me.
That's good. That's what you should always
In
dance.
My head, I'm doing algebraic equations.
Yeah.
I'm calculating high math numbers.
It makes sense.
I'm figuring out the mysteries of the universe whilst dancing.
Yeah.
And my moves are making people change.
It's amazing.
Their lives are being changed.
Yeah, watch out, people.
They don't understand what's going on. And then if you make eye contact with me while I'm dancing, you will never be the same.
The rhythm is going to get you.
You're going to walk out of that place. You're going to feel like you got baptized by dance.
That's right.
It's a different thing. But it's going to be pretty incredible. So if you ever catch me at the club, don't look me in the eye. Unless you're ready for a life-altering experience. Doug knows. I'm warning you guys. I don't want everybody to be caught unawares. So I feel like it's a public service announcement that I need to do.
Oh, amazing.
A concerned Cincinnati area mom started asking questions after she discovered her son's ice cream sandwich was left outside in 80-degree weather and barely melted at all, even after 12 hours. She took a second Walmart brand ice cream sandwich, put it on the patio. That one didn't melt either.
Whoa.
A local news station saw this as actual news and conducted a side-by-side investigation of the brands. Sounds like that one thing that goes on here in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
We get the truth for you. Why do toilets flush clockwise? We'll know tonight at 10 with What's-His-Face, the detective.
Yes. Yeah. Investigative reporting.
That's it.
It's deep.
A local news station saw it as actual news, conducted a side-by-side investigation of three brands. The TV station found that while a pint of Häagen-Dazs deteriorated rapidly in full sun, the Walmart Great Value sandwich, living up to its name, pretty much held its shape and did not melt, thanks in part to gum stabilizers and a relative lack of butterfat and cream. A Klondike bar melted more than the Walmart ice cream sandwich, but not as fully as the Häagen-Dazs.
So what you're saying is the ice cream from Walmart is like gum?
What I'm saying is, who needs to cover the conflict in the Middle East,
right,
when we can cover the ice cream conflict on the patio?
Well, I want to know if I'm eating a real ice cream sandwich or not. These are important life issues,
all
man.
All right, I'm going to give you a heads up. If you buy something that says great value on it, more than likely, the value is not only in the price, because they're saving money somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's usually with not real food in it.
Yeah.
That's how I believe.
Thanks to that investigative report, now I know. Knowing is half the battle, and that was very important. Who cares about what's going on in the Middle East? I need to know what's going on in the middle of my ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, what is this? Yeah. What is this compound?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
So
from now
important.
On, when I reveal knowledge, we're going to start going, Mateo. How do you feel, Doug? Changed? Yep.
Oh, it's good.
Neighbors heard the racket and called police. What did they call about?
I don't know.
An 85-year-old widow was woken up when two thieves attempted to get into her house. She was a former school teacher.
Okay.
She went right at the two invaders and tossed a bucket of water at them.
That's good. Where did she... What? It takes a long time to fill up a bucket of water. Did she already have a bucket of water by her bed?
When one of the men grabbed at her, she whacked him and his accomplice with a stick.
Nuh-uh.
And then...
That's good.
I just Tarantino'd this story. Halfway through, boom! Neighbors heard the racket and called the police. Law enforcement officers arrived at the home with a matter of minutes and the thieves were arrested. When the woman went down to the police station to positively identify the criminals, she made them do sit-ups as punishment. Don't you mess with an old lady with a bucket by her bed. Can you imagine?
That's incredible. Now do sit-ups till you puke.
Do sit-ups till you puke, you little doo-doo head.
Here's a bucket to throw up in.
Oh, guys, there's some donut capers going on.
Oh, no!
Yep. I got one more story after this, and then we're going to get out of here. Police in a Portland, Oregon suburb have a sticky situation on their hands. For more than a month, mysterious vandals have been smearing pastries on cars, depositing donuts on lawns, and leaving cakes strewn about the streets.
This is not okay, people. These are donuts, precious donuts. I'm so hungry this morning. That sounds so good.
The Baked Good Bandits. The Baked Good Bandits.
Nope.
First struck on June 1st, smearing a maple bar across a car windshield.
Why would you waste a maple bar?
In the weeks since, the pastry perpetrators have occasionally turned to healthier fare, leaving yogurt, bread, and potato salad on vehicles and driveways. Show me potato salad, Doug. Although, most of the incidents have involved sweets. Amateur sleuths within the neighborhood collected frosting and sprinkles. Trace pastries back to at least two supermarkets in the area. Interesting. And finally, Mexican police called out to investigate strange noises from an abandoned house in Mexico were shocked to find a live-action tiger in the house.
No way!
Officers don't know how that jungle cat ended up in the house, which had been empty for some time. And that, my friends, is your breaking news, because it is time for Traffico with Doug. Let's look at it. Doug, tell people what's on the street.
Roads, asphalt, concrete, destruction, mayhem. I-25 Paseo is your only traffic to look out for right now.
He's right.
That's your look at traffic?
He's right. Doug, I tested you and you came out. Oh, no. Nope. Something happened. There's an accident at Ellison Street at Highway 528 up in Rio Rancho. Just happened.
You failed,
oh,
Doug.
Oh, thanks a
just
lot,
happened.
Rio Rancho.
Failed. Gosh.
Oh, failed, Doug.
Let's move into birthdays.
I guess.
Doug.
Thanks a lot, Rio Rancho. Today is July 24th, 2014, day 205. There are 160 days remaining. First up this morning, comedian best known for smashing watermelons.
Yeah.
Yes.
That guy's old.
He is old. And he looks like Bozo.
He kind of does.
Bozo!
That dude's been balding for 30 years. He's got to be up there. Well, I mean.
Okay. Gallagher. He was popular in the 70s.
I'm going to say 65.
71.
He is 68 years old today.
Right in the middle. Right in the middle.
Next up. American actor. Perhaps best known for his role in the film Airplane and his role as Robert Seaver in Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey.
I don't know his name.
Wait.
Steve-O's in deep concentration.
Man, Airplane. I don't remember his name.
Robert Hayes.
Dude, Airplane. Have you ever seen Airplane?
Yes. Stop Calling Me Shirley, right? Is that
yes.
that?
Yeah. Yes. Wesley Nielsen. Robert Hayes is... Man, that's an older... I'm going to say 60.
62.
He is 67 years old.
Whoa.
We should have guessed similarly to the first one.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Kramer is
yeah!
correct.
Michael Richards.
Former racist.
Yep. Well, I don't know about the former part.
Yeah.
It could still be.
Yeah.
You'll know.
I haven't checked his Twitter lately, because usually that's where they go to.
Ugh. Stretch.
59.
Kramer. 60.
Today, Michael Richards is 65 years
Dang
old.
Mm. Not old. Old people today. Dan Sport. Patrick.
No, a couple of
Kenny
athletes up next. First up, he is the all-time home run leader.
Tim Skipper.
Like in real life or
in real
fakes?
Life. Well, yeah.
Barry Bonds.
Yes. Ugh. Barry Bonds.
Guys, I thought he did steroids.
Right.
So how is he the champion in real life?
Well, yeah. That's what I meant, in real life or for fakes.
He's probably a baked good bandit.
Yeah.
Technically, he is, but we all know who the real home run king is.
Don't
Mark
say
McGuire.
His name three times in a row, because that guy is Beetlejuiced, if you know what I mean.
Hey! Hey!
Thank you. Barry Bonds is 40.
Barry Bonds today is 43.
He is 50 years old today.
Whoa, really? Dude.
See, he's old. It's going to take care of itself.
Next up. Former NBA star, best known for his time with the Utah Jazz. Known
John
as the
Stockton!
Mailman.
Oh, Karl Malone!
Yes.
I know
Nicely
this!
Done.
I knew it!
Nicely done.
Karl Malone! Tim! I got one! I had his
great.
Basketball card.
That was pretty great.
Him and John Stockton were on the Utah Jazz, and they were buddies.
They were.
Breaking down racial barriers since the 80s.
I feel really bad for them, man. Because there were other dudes breaking down racial barriers. They played for the Bulls.
Oh, come on.
And,
you gotta give them something.
Yeah, just not a championship.
He was the mailman.
I know.
He was delivering packages daily.
He also tag teamed with Diamond Dallas Page to fight Hulk Hogan
and
Dennis Rodman.
Yeah!
Back in the day.
At like SummerSlam or some lame thing like that. Yeah!
Totally.
Bashing the beach.
I think it was Bash at the Beach.
Yeah, that's what it was. Gosh.
WCW.
Karl Malone is 53.
Karl Malone is 55.
Karl Malone is 51 years old today.
Wow. Tim's proud of me. Good job. Good job.
Thanks, everyone.
Next up, an Australian actress made her screen debut in 1994 with a small role in The Dallas Doll. 2000, she had played a leading role in the Australian film The Goddess of 1967. Later on, she starred as Ellen Parsons in the cable television series Damages. She also starred, she co-starred with Glenn Close. In 2011, she was in the critically acclaimed, financially successful Insidious X-Men First Class, but she's probably best known.
And she was in Bridesmaids!
I
don't know her name. Yeah, she's Moira.
Yep.
Right?
Moira McTaggart.
Yes.
And she's in the remake of Annie coming out soon.
That's right, she is. Why don't I know her name? It's like Maggie. No, it's. What is her name?
Rose.
No, lost it. No clue.
Rose Byrne.
Okay. The only Rose I know is Rose McGowan. Remember Rose McGowan?
Yes.
She was in Scream.
She was married to Marilyn Manson for a minute.
That's right. Who we saw last week.
Hold on for one Monday.
She's like 37.
Tune in for mid, Doug's with Day.
Nice.
I got you, Doug.
Thank you.
I got you. Okay, this girl, she was also in this movie that me and Dawn watched called I Give It a Year, and it was the dumbest movie. It's on Netflix. It was lame. It was this couple that got married, like, on the spot, and then the whole movie was about how they needed to not be married.
Oh.
And at the end, they ended up deciding to get divorced, and it was like they were getting married because they were so happy. He was like, will you divorce me?
Oh,
she was like,
God.
Yes! And they were celebrating. It was backwards.
Oh,
and I said, look at this world! Look at this end times world! Look at it's because of the tattoos and the piercings and all the birds! Look at this world! The birds is watching us. They own the power lines. They in the devil's hand. It's the Democrats, it's the Republicans, it's all of it. Illuminati's out to get you. They're using the birds.
Oh, man, you're fired from watching random movies.
No. Hey.
Yeah.
I know that there is pain.
I know.
Hold out for one more day. Break free from the chains.
That was good.
I'm stalling. I'm stalling because I want to hear this song.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry, Doug.
It's okay.
It's your fault.
I knew I was getting myself into when I picked this song.
Turn around and say goodbye. Say goodbye. Yeah, baby. Are you going to let him hold you down and make you cry? Don't you know? Don't you know? Things are going your way. If you hold on one more day, yeah.
That's good. Strong.
This girl is 35.
She is 35 years old.
After all of that crap, I got it right.
Tim Burton.
No. But an American actor who's best known for playing Pris Humperdinck in The Princess Bride, the vampire Jerry Dandridge in Fright Night, Detective Mike Norris in the first entry of Child's Play series.
Ooh.
And the speaking voice of Jack Skellington in The Nightmare Before Christmas.
I had no idea he was Jack Skellington.
Chris Sarandon.
Humperdinck.
Yes.
Jack, this isn't fair! What's this?
I finally saw this movie in its entirety last year.
And you loved it.
I did.
It's good.
I really did. Rumor has it I'm going to be at Disneyland this year for Halloween so that I could see this at the Haunted Mansion, which is the greatest ride of all time.
Just use throwing snowballs instead of throwing heads.
Chris Sarandon. He is. Okay, wait. Princess Bride, he was. Let's see. I don't know. 20s?
In my bones,
I'm going to say 54.
They kiss? See, kissing is inspirational.
I know.
What'd you say?
I already forgot.
45?
You said 51.
51.
48.
Today, he is 72 years old.
That man is old.
Chris Sarandon is 72 years old?
Dude.
I gotta lie down. How old was when he did?
Okay. He needs to lie down. His hip probably hurts.
Humperdink! Humperdink, Humperdink, Humperdink!
Next up, an American actress, author, fashion designer, dancer, producer, and singer.
Brandy!
Nope. She became...
J-Lo!
Yes.
J-Lo! What am I doing? We referenced J-Lo just a minute ago with Anaconda.
Yeah.
Yep, now she's back.
My love don't cost a thing. It does cost a thing, though. We've seen in the headlines.
Yeah.
J-Lo is an expensive lady.
Yeah.
She has expensive taste. Mark Antony couldn't keep up.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
It costs many things. It costs your dignity. It costs your private life because of the paparazzi.
Yeah.
It costs your freaking confidence because you're like, what? Am I good enough? I don't know. I'll never know. And she keeps you like on the lam. You don't know. You're in limbo constantly because she's a coach on American Idol. And you don't know because you know she's telling people that are horrible that they're good. So then as her boyfriend, you're sitting there going, is she just being nice to me? Doug knows what I'm talking about.
Me and one of my friends were talking about that we're at the right age where we remember Selena as being Jennifer Lopez and not actually Selena. That we're at that age where we don't remember Selena.
Selena Lopez is 45.
That's offensive. You think she's that old?
I don't know.
41.
Today, Miss Lopez is 45 years old.
You got it.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
You got it.
I know.
How much does your love cost?
My love don't cost a thing.
Well played.
Yeah. On to dates. On this day in what year, Mormon leader Brigham Young and his followers arrived in the valley of the Great Salt Lake in present-day Utah.
1857.
Speaking of Salt Lake, that was awesome. The mailman, Carl Malone.
All the former listeners we've offended.
All former listeners who don't listen anymore. Well, it's true. I did. Oh, man. I don't know. When did it start? When was it? In 1741. I have no idea.
1847.
Dang it! I was 10 years off. I said 1857. I legitimately knew it was around then. Because there was this really pretty girl in high school.
He dated a Mormon.
I did.
He wanted his own planet. Didn't happen. Didn't happen, man. Sorry.
I know. And now they've taken it out of the bylaws.
Arrested Development.
On this day in what year, Tennessee became the first state to be readmitted into the Union after the Civil War.
These guys were here last week and we didn't go see them and I'm mad.
Cypress Hill was here last night.
So darn tough.
Alright, Tennessee back in the Union, 1875.
1859. 1866. Mm. On this day, in what year, a Miami jury convicted Ted Bundy of first-degree murder in the slayings of Florida State University sorority sisters Margaret Bowman and Lisa Levy.
Ted Bundy.
1971.
1982.
1979.
On this day, in what year, Lance Armstrong won his seventh consecutive Tour de France.
Him and Bo Jackson are in a club together.
Man, I'm so thrown off. All I can sing is this song now.
I do want to ride a bicycle. Daniel's riding a bicycle. Our boss Daniel's training to where he can ride a bike for 100 miles.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
So if you guys think you're cool, forget it.
What was the question?
This day, what year Lance Armstrong won his seventh consecutive Tour de France. Live strong.
07.
Live strong, baby. 05.
05 is correct.
Yeah, Mateo.
That was two sports things today. That's too many. Who are you?
Pretty much the best.
On to number one songs.
You make my house slay.
67. You make everything good.
1966.
1966 is correct.
Oh,
he's heating up.
Lady!
He's heating up.
What's going on, baby?
Braids.
You've got to get this wrong. 2012.
Oh, my friend.
No, no, yeah.
Oh, my
I'm
friend.
Wrong.
Hey there, Delilah, what's it like? Let me think for a second.
Saw these guys perform the song live.
Really?
Right when the song was big. All the girls in the building went insane.
2007. I swear it's
true. This song was the number one song on this day in 2007.
Oh, what's God. Up now, everybody?
Just drop your headphones.
Oh,
just
where's
out.
My mic?
Just go.
I dropped it.
Peace out.
Today is the
we'll
Great Texas Mosquito Festival. It is Lumberjack World Championships Day
awesome.
In Hayward, Wisconsin. Today is Cousins Day. It is National Drive-Thru Day. It's National Tequila Day, Mateo. It's Tell an Old Joke Day. It's Amelia Earhart Day. And
Amelia!
It is Jelly Beans Day.
I love it.
It is Jelly Beans Day. We should make Jarrett and Beanix eat those jelly
yes!
beans for Theology Thursday.
Yes, we should.
We have them in studio. We can do what we want. Ain't nothing more theological than making dudes eat vomit-flavored jelly beans.
Or tequila.
I love it! We got a great show. Unfortunately, we got to take a quick break. We can't always be on.
Duh.
Got some good Charlotte on the way, some Saints of Valerie, some Friendly Savages, and more. Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
Welcome back.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Let's take a look and see what's the haps.
What's the haps on the road
oh,
for your
no.
afternoon at 7:22 in the morning?
Nice. This is right now traffic right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to make that happen.
All right.
It's pretty fetch. There's a stalled semi-truck. Gibson Boulevard West at I-25. So watch out for that.
All right.
Also, boom. There's an accident. Paseo Del Norte East at Coors.
Oh, it's no bueno.
That's going to be a mess.
Yep.
Good luck around there. Also, up in the Rio Rancho area, there's an accident at Ellison Street at Highway 528. And, of course, we have construction, I-25 and Paseo. That accident at Coors and Paseo is going to be a mess.
Yeah, nightmare.
So, good luck, friends. That's your look at traffic.
Right now.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch Coffee Shop here on the Calvary Albuquerque campus. Talking breakfast burritos. Coffee. Iced chais. That's what I did this morning.
Yeah.
Iced dirty chai. Dirty chai.
Burn, burn, ding, dong, ping, ping.
You can call in an order. 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. Coming up in 7 minutes, we're going to be talking with Emily Krieger. She is the author of National Geographic Kids' Book, Myths Busted 2. Just when you thought you knew what you knew. That's the title. Myths Busted 2. We're going to talk to her about some of these myths that were busted. They're writing more and more volumes, so if there are any myths you know of, maybe some stories, some ghost stories.
Ooh.
Some old wives' tales.
I don't
that
have
you
an
would
old
like
wife.
Us to ask. You don't have an old wife?
No.
She never told you anything?
No.
No. Well, we want to know. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. The funnier the better, because we're going to ask him. For realsies.
Yeah, cool.
Like oil comes from dead dinosaurs.
Yep.
That's a myth.
Oh.
Oil was actually here before the dinosaurs. They drowned in oil, remember? I don't think that's real. Tomatoes remove skunk stink from dogs.
Oh.
That's a myth, actually.
Oh.
But in here, there are explanations for why not and what actually does. Caffeine stunts your growth? Myth.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good.
Shaving hair makes it grow back thicker. False.
Ooh.
Yeah, shaving doesn't change how hair grows.
Really?
Mm. I wonder... That's interesting. If you cut an earthworm in half, it will become two separate earthworms. There's a lot in here. So I'm really excited to talk to her about them. also to come up with our own myths and see if she can either confirm or deny their truthiness.
That's right. We'll have a good time.
Yeah, I'm excited. That's coming up in about 5 minutes. So get your questions in, facebook.com/mystaticradio.
Get them in.
Emily Krieger up next from National Geographic Kids on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
And it'll be fun.
This is going to be a real party, isn't it?
Ain't no party like a Team Awesome Morning Party, because a Team Awesome Morning Party party don't stop.
This show is so clever.
Yes!
Good morning again.
Team Awesome Morning Party, 7:30. You know, we've been talking about this morning. I'm really excited to welcome a very special guest into the show.
Me too.
We always love talking to people from National Geographic Kids because they're always pretty freaking cool. On the phone right now,
the Keeper of Dreams.
Yes! Emily Krieger, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I love that introduction.
You're welcome. We're available for introductions.
We really are. That's what we do. We specialize
in it.
Here,
you need that.
Let me make it even better. Emily, she's an award-winning writer, editor, fact-checker, specializing in children's content and science. She investigates everything from Bigfoot to George Washington. She actually had the first sit-down interview with George Washington when he became president.
Awesome.
She's got knowledge for days!
That's really cool.
Emily Krieger, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're so stoked to talk to you because we're a couple of little kids who happen to fake that we're grown-ups with real jobs. So we were really, really excited to talk to you about Myths Busted 2 because we like to make up a lot of stuff on the radio and our listeners have to fact-check us a lot.
It's true.
So we just make stuff up regularly.
All right, this is you, so you could be a good resource for me when I'm researching new myths for the next book.
Absolutely.
Well, we absolutely have questions because obviously you do a lot of research. You've busted some crazy myths. There's a ginormous list, and obviously, as I said, this is part two.
Mm-hmm.
So this
part
isn't even the first one. So top five craziest myths that you've busted.
Okay. So just run them down.
I love it.
The craziest myths that I've busted. Let's see. So I guess I would categorize them as crazy when I find out that there are scientists out there that have actually studied this idea. So for example, I'll pick my favorite one from this book. So have you ever heard the myth that a buttered piece of toast always lands face down, buttered side down?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, it's a bummer, and it seems like that is, in fact, the case in my experience. But no, actually, there are a number of physicists who have conducted experiments on
That's cool.
And actually fling toast up in the air, knock it off a plate, knock it off a table, and take measurements and observe it and write down the results. And what they found is that a buttered piece of toast does not always land face down. It often does, though, because of the height they figured out, of the height from where the toast is falling. So it's typically waist height. You know, think if you're holding a piece of toast on a plate and it slips off or somebody bumps into you, or like tabletop height, which is roughly the same as waist height. So, yeah, they found that basically that height does not give the toast enough time to go from face up to face down and then to start making that rotation back to face up. And so it ends up face down.
Hey, Emily,
more often than not, but not all the time.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do physicists get paid really well?
Yeah!
Because
yeah,
my friend,
doesn't that sound like a fun job?
My friend told me that radio was the coolest job.
That was obviously a
and
myth.
And you just described to me the best thing I've ever heard. And if they get paid really well, I'm quitting dumb job right now.
The myth is that radio was the coolest
job. It's a fun job.
Gosh.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry.
Well, here's another one. Okay. You got time for another crazy
story? We've got time
we
for
got
days.
We got all day.
We booked up the next hour and a half for you.
You
We're
have
ready.
4 hours to talk.
You are good. You are good until you get bored.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So here's another fun myth in the book. It's that chocolate gives you acne.
Oh.
And so what I found is this is not true. So that's good news,
that
right?
That is good news.
You can eat all the chocolate you want.
Amen.
But the reason we know this is because scientists have actually studied this a number of times since as far back as 1969 is the first study that they did on this. And it's actually one of the scientists' jobs in these experiments to count the pimples on the study participants' faces.
Oh, my gosh.
Before, during, and after they eat chocolate. And I thought, I got such a kick out of that, that that's actually somebody's job.
Right. These are all crazy jobs.
That makes me want to kick
them.
One of the myths in here, like, made me sad because it means Robin Williams is a liar.
No!
Yeah, a myth in here I read, shaving hair makes it grow back thicker. And that one's busted. That's a lie.
Yeah.
Robin Williams lied to us
because
he always claims he has really hairy. He does have really hairy arms. I don't know if you've seen. Emily, have you seen
he
Robin
does.
Williams' arms? They're crazy, right? He said
they are.
That they got that way after Mrs. Doubtfire because he had to shave his forearms.
Oh, my gray.
Liar!
That's.
Well, yeah, you know.
At least according to you. So this book, you're saying that Robin Williams is a liar.
I guess I am saying that.
Thank you, Shatterer of Dreams.
Thank you. He was the genie in Aladdin. I loved him, and now he's a liar.
Hey,
and
hey, Alibaba had them 40 thieves. Sherazade had 1,000 tails, and freaking Emily showed up and busted every one of them.
Everyone.
Thanks, Emily.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, I'm the dream killer.
Gosh. That should be your intro.
We ask listeners to give, you know, some of the myths that they have in their lives or wives' tales as far as things that they grew up with.
Yes.
And we figured since we had a myth-busting expert on, we could ask you if you've ever researched them, if you know them to be true, and or, you know, what your research has shown. So
okay.
Can we? So obviously, number one, a big one people are curious about because we live in New Mexico, and this last year there was a television series that came out here and filmed for Bigfoot, believing that he's real because the chupacabra's out here. We've seen the ditch witch. There's a few different people in New Mexico that, you know, there's claims that they're real. But I saw immediately Bigfoot, and that's a real question. We have, you know, an honest question. Bigfoot, have you ever, you've investigated Bigfoot?
I sure did in the first book.
And is it busted? Do we know for sure? Did you find a body?
No, I did not find a body. I could not pin Bigfoot down for an interview. But I could find a number of scientists out there. They're, most of them are what's called a physical anthropologist, and what they do is they study remains, typically of mammals. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of physical anthropologists out there who are familiar with the Bigfoot legend. You know, people are always turning up what they believe to be evidence of Bigfoot. So, say, some teeth or a clump of hair or a mysterious pile of bones. And so there are some scientists out there who are willing to look at this evidence that people bring in, believing that it's Bigfoot, and they always find out that it's not some mystery, new, exciting creature to science. It's some, you know, everyday animal that we already knew existed, or it's some kind of, you know, composite, crazy fake thing that somebody made up. And basically what the scientists say are, we don't have any bones, any teeth, any hair, nothing. No. To prove the existence of Bigfoot. So until we do, we got to call Bigfoot a myth.
All right.
A fun myth, but it's a myth.
Man, we have so many. Okay. You want to do lightning round?
Yes.
All right. Lightning round. We're going to play the music and we're going to go lightning round.
Is that cool, Emily?
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Emily. All right. Emily Krieger on the phone from National Geographic Kids, writer of Myths Busted 2.
Boom.
So we're going to go through some of these myths. Here we go. All right. Speaking of animals, eating carrots, will that really turn you orange? Was a question.
Yeah, it can. You'd have to eat a lot of carrots.
Okay.
But yeah,
how many?
It can.
Like on a scale of 1 to 473 carrots, how many carrots would you have to eat?
Oh, geez, I don't know.
Okay.
470 carrots in one day would probably do it.
All right.
All right.
Next question. Can bears run downhill?
Yes, and very fast, faster than you.
Great. See, great. There's bears out here. A bear out here. We were on the news because a bear came into our radio area. No joke. Real
life. Exciting. Yeah.
It was not exciting.
It was terrifying. But you can see us on television. It was very hilarious because they interviewed us and we were honest. Yeah. We were very honest in our assessment of the bear.
We were.
That almost ate us. So, yeah. So, starve a fever, feed a cold?
False.
Oh, great.
False?
My mom's
Don't
a liar.
Don't starve anything.
Gosh, my mom lied to me.
Okay, I've got one. Is humanity really descended from the race of snake people that were on this planet before us?
See, that's a good one. That one is actually true.
Oh, good.
I found.
All right, hang on.
No, of course that one is false.
Oh, good. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Sorry.
There's some good ones in here. Okay, this is real because we live in the desert. Skunks. Tomato paste, best way to remove the skunk odor.
False.
Are you kidding me?
False.
Okay.
I knew my dad was a jerk. And now I know for sure.
Our parents lied to us.
He
so
was
much.
Doing that to me on purpose.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, man.
Yeah.
All right.
There's a recipe that does work in the second book. Okay. But the recipe does not include any kind of tomato product.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll check that out. Also, is Jay-Z in the Illuminati?
I don't know. That one's inconclusive. The jury's still out.
Well,
he did marry Beyonce.
He did, and she's definitely.
This is true.
I believe she is the queen, right?
Is there really a station called Harp up in the Arctic that can control the weather?
Ooh, I've never heard that before. I don't think so.
HAARP.
Okay.
Check it out.
Yeah, that one doesn't sound like it's true.
All right. Well, I'm disappointed, but that's fine.
I know.
Is that dream killing? Okay.
If you punch a shark in the nose, will he stop biting you?
I don't, that sounds like a good approach, and I've certainly read about people who were attacked by sharks and punched in the nose.
Yeah.
So, I'd go with that. If a shark is chowing down on you and you can punch it in the nose, do it.
Yeah.
Get out of there.
I feel like you're a man at that point. You're a man. Even if you're a woman, you're just a man.
That's right. The moon landing was not real. It was filmed in a television studio
in
Los Angeles.
Have you found the studio?
No, that one's crazy. The moon landing is real.
It's real?
It's real. Believe it.
Have you checked your facts?
We've landed on the moon!
Go out and celebrate because we have landed on the moon.
I'm going to do it.
Oh, gosh. Are you sure?
Positive. Positive.
Okay. All right. Emily Krieger. National Geographic kids. Cracking your knuckles gives you arthritis.
Now, this is something I grew up with.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Totally.
This is for real.
Yeah.
False.
Every adult I've ever known is
a
freaking jerk.
They're
all liars and jerks.
I'm cracking them right now just because I can.
You know what, though? It can weaken your grip.
Not me. I'm a man, Emily.
Emily, why didn't you tell me that? I just started cracking my knuckles. You should have told me that before I started cracking my knuckles.
I got G.I. Joe grip. This stuff don't stop. These colors don't run, Emily. I got G.I. Joe grip. Boom! All right, next question.
Next question. Being in New Mexico, again, we got a lot of New Mexico questions. Is it true that aliens exist because of Roswell, 1947?
Boom.
That's a good question. Mm. You know, something definitely went down in that region in that year. I don't know exactly what. I have not looked into that one.
Okay.
I should.
And a related question.
Yes.
Is there a planet X, and are we actually descended from the Nephilim that came off of that planet a long time ago, and they took the inhabitants of Earth, and they kind of spliced them up with the gene pool to make them into this race that would build their pyramids and whatnot, but then they got mad, and then you had Enki, and you had Eloy, and they were mad, they were brothers, and one of them was a scientist, and one of them was kind of like this warrior guy, and they fought, one was in South America, and the other one was in the Middle East, and then that's where people came from.
Yeah, I can't confirm any of that.
But you knew George Washington.
That was a listener question. That was a really long question.
Maybe it was my question. Maybe there wasn't a listener question for
that. Oh,
man.
Yeah. Is it true that Elvis is still alive?
No.
What?
Come on. My co-host here is from Tupelo, Mississippi.
I'm from Mississippi, Emily. Can't you tell?
He'd be pretty old by now, right?
Yeah.
Well, he would, but maybe he's still alive. He's not alive. He just went home.
Yeah.
Keep hope alive if you want. I'm going to go with he's dead, though, sadly.
Right.
Is it true that if we ever found the Holy Grail and drank from it, we would live forever?
Amen.
Well, I guess if it were true that there were a Holy Grail, then yes. But I don't believe there is a Holy Grail or a Fountain of Youth or anything like that that you can drink that'll make you live forever.
I got to cross off Fountain of Youth. Great. That was the next
one.
Yeah.
That one's hang on the list. That's All right.
Well, hang on.
Now, when you guys discovered Atlantis, were there still active mermaids in there or was everybody dead?
Well, nobody's ever discovered an actual Atlantis that scientists think, yeah, there's a lot of evidence at this site to support the theory that this could actually be Atlantis. The vast majority of scientists out there think, hey, Atlantis is a great story that the ancient Greek philosopher Plato created, and that's it. It's a story. It's not a real place.
Next question. Who actually shot JFK?
Oh, my God.
That's a heavy one.
I don't know. That'd have to be a whole book. I don't know.
We have cool listeners.
We do have cool listeners. They ask some good questions.
I have a question. Here's another one. If you stare at the sun, will you go blind?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, you would. If you stared at the sun for too long of a time period, you could go blind. It's not good to stare at the sun without wearing some kind of protective eyewear. You don't want to do that. It's a powerful, big star. Don't stare at it for too long.
Gotcha.
Speaking of going blind, is it true if I keep doing this, I'll go blind?
I don't know. What's doing this?
You can't hear that?
No.
Oh. I'm crossing my eyes.
He's crossing his eyes.
Sorry.
It's really loud here.
That sucked for radio. That didn't work.
Oh, yeah. Nobody can
see. Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Apologies.
Not radio ready.
Not radio. He's got a face for radio, Emily.
That's what my mom always tells me.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
And deserves to not ever be shown.
Oh, gosh.
I'm talking ugly.
Emily,
I'm talking just the worst.
Big question. Myth or bust it, okay? Is it true that you need researchers for your next book and we're the funniest people you've ever met?
What happened?
I don't need researchers, but you are the funniest people I've ever met. So it's a partly true answer.
There you go.
That's a half truth, Emily, and that's a lie. Yeah. That's what that is.
He's from the South. He's from the South. He knows all about truths and lies. I mean, that's it. He grew up Baptist.
I did.
Southern Baptist.
Southern Baptist.
There you go.
You can imagine.
I can. I'm actually from the South myself.
Where?
Yeah!
Wait, let me judge you. Where?
I don't know. Is that you judging me?
Yes.
Can you
feel that?
You don't want to guess? I'm going to say Bama Roll Tide.
No. No, not because of her accent.
False.
Okay, you're from the South. Listen to that accent.
Is there an accent? I think she's been
exactly.
in Washington too long.
You've been in Seattle for a while,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worn off.
Oh, no. Are you from Florida?
I am.
Wow.
Thank you.
Is it true? You can totally do this. Is it true that Florida is the craziest state in the union because all of the crazy stories come from Florida?
I 100% agree with that statement.
Yeah.
I've been following all the news stories, and the state has just kind of lost its mind the last decade.
It's pretty cool.
Speaking of losing your mind.
Lots of wacky stories.
Yeah, there are a ton of wacky
stories. We had a great listener question, and since we live in New Mexico, when chasing a roadrunner, how far off a cliff can you run before you actually fall?
Amen.
You know?
I don't know if anybody studied that, but they should. Maybe that's the one that you all can get in on.
Okay.
That could be the scientific study that you two conduct. I don't think anybody researched that one.
If we hold a sign that says "Yikes," does that keep us
in the air? Yeah.
Does it propel?
I actually think that would make you drop.
Oh.
I know that's not true.
No.
I don't know. That's going to have to be part of your study.
That is. Should have taken a left turn at Albuquerque.
Emily, I wish you were my best friend, so I knew all this information.
I know, dude. Emily Krieger from National Geographic Kids. Author of Myths Busted 2. We actually have a copy to give away, so I'm excited for that as well. Yeah! Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We've totally gone over interview time.
Thank you for putting up with us.
But you have been so much fun, so...
Thank you. Yeah, you guys are fun. Thanks for having me on.
Myth.
You come
false.
Back anytime you want. Seriously. We love talking to anybody from National Geographic Kids because it's always really, really interesting and fun and wacky.
Who's our friend that we talk to a lot?
So Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Right?
We talked to Jennifer more than once, so we think she likes
us. Oh,
Yeah. So see, now you're our new friend, so you have to come hang out with
us
too.
Now you get to call us once a week. It's awesome.
All right, will do. Well, I'll come back when Myth Busted 3 is out.
Yeah! All right. Let us know how we can contribute. We've got some really, really good ones
got
on
some
the horizon.
Good stuff. I've been trying out this thing where I don't wear deodorant for months.
Yeah, it's really fact, not fun to be around. So
pretty cool.
Yeah.
The myth is you can still have friends after not wearing deodorant for months.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I'm
that's what it sounds like.
I'm busting it.
Yeah. Oh, he is. He's busting it. So
yeah.
All right.
Cool.
Emily, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you. It was fun. Have a good day.
Bye, Dream Killer. Love you.
She's the best. Emily Krieger. Man, we got to take a quick break.
One day, National Geographic is not going to call us anymore. I feel like the JFK question threw her off a little bit.
You think?
She was on her A game until that one.
Oh, Emily Krieger.
It's a heavy thing.
Yeah. Author at National Geographic Kids. Those guys are so much fun. I hope they never stop calling us.
Yeah, and this is a great resource. Oh. This is a fun little book for kids.
Yeah, it's been really rad, actually, reading through it and finding out that earthworms, I guess, if you cut them in half, they don't grow two earthworms.
Yeah, or the myth that Vikings wore horned helmets.
They did it?
Not true.
Oh, come on. Book is crushing my childlike dreams.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, coming back, we got some music from Temper Trap, some City Rain. More Team Awesome Morning Party!
No!
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning!
Team Awesome Morning Party. Making your morning a little more awesomer. Ist. A little more awesomest.
I'm like, and then?
Albuquerque is doing a poor job.
Oh,
Michelle
no.
Schropp, how was traffic on the way over here?
Horrible.
Really?
Horrid.
Did they clear that accident at Coors and Paseo yet? Did you come across anything?
Mm-mm.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, well, we have a
Paseo
bunch of other stuff.
Paseo goes down to one lane, and that's where the problem is. Or two lanes, yeah.
Accident, the left lane's blocked, I-40 East at 6th Street. Accident, I-40 East at the Big I, big interchange. There's a stalled semi-truck, Gibson Boulevard East at I-25, and also... there's an accident at Unser Boulevard Southwest North at Arenal. Thought it said Arsenal.
Unser Boulevard Southwest North. Gosh, Albuquerque.
Is it Arenal?
Yeah, Arenal.
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 Arenal. Yeah. And of course, I-25 in Paseo, where you're talking about, it goes down to one lane. It's getting really, really backed up.
It's good times.
It looks like 40 eastbound behind the accident at 40 and 6th is really messed up. Good luck out there, friends.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert campus. Phone number 505-338-3669. Welcoming into studio, Michelle Schropp.
Hey!
Hello.
Hello.
So glad you are here!
Me too! I love it!
Yeah, it's always fun to have you in studio. Michelle Schropp from the Aspen Project, and more specifically, Project Zoe.
That's it.
Doing awesome things.
Yes.
Did you guys get all the clothes and everything?
We did.
We have rad listeners.
There were a couple of shoes that got left behind.
They got them yesterday.
Well, it was really cool because we have a fellow foster parent that just got her, 22nd kid. You think we're rock stars. This lady has a ton of kids, and one of the children that she has, the mother had a baby and left it at the hospital. So she's like, I need newborn baby boy clothes. Mm-hmm. So someone dropped off a huge bin full of stellar baby boy clothes. So I don't know who they were. Hopefully they're listening. Thank you so much. I got them to her yesterday.
That's
and
awesome.
She was so,
perfect.
So thankful. Yeah.
That's how it goes.
I know. It was awesome. It. I do too.
Love it.
I know.
So, yeah, you mentioned foster care.
Yes.
You guys are rock stars because your band is called Foster the People.
Hey.
Because you've got 147 in your home.
More
not
like
me.
Foster the Continent.
It's 148.
Ah, yes.
Just kidding.
Wow.
Actually, this morning I was looking at our baby who's going to be 2 in the next couple of weeks, and I'm like, he's not a baby. And my husband's like, that's good. And I go, no, we always have a baby.
Oh, you don't always have to have a baby.
I know.
I'm telling my wife this.
I know. And so today I was trying to love him like a baby, and he wouldn't let me. So I told Clay, hey, you need to talk to him. Since they can't have any more babies, you need to tell him he's acting like a baby. This is going to be 2.
God has put this on
2-year-olds don't like to cradle
heart.
And
no,
stuff.
No, they don't. Yeah.
I know, it's bad. And now everyone around me has these little newborns. a really good friend of mine that I grew up with just started fostering in New York.
Wow.
And she got her first placement yesterday, a little two-week-old. And she's like, I'm exhausted, but I feel so blessed. And I'm like, what? And her baby's going to be 13. So
She,
her last newborn she had was 13 years ago. And you know, it's so cool to... Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, it's kind of sick and wrong that you're feeling so blessed staying up till, you know, all hours of the night feeding
it's
a baby.
Because you're just, you know,
it's drug addicted.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, wow. And, it's you know, a drug addicted baby, it's very different than,
right.
I mean, they're screaming 24/7.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm just so blessed. I'm like, wow. It's the Lord.
It is. No, yeah, it is.
Can you imagine? I mean... You struggle with just a newborn, let alone, you know, one that's screaming constantly, and she's blessed. So I told her, I said, yeah, you're exactly where God wants you.
Yeah, no kidding. Gosh, amazing.
I know, it is. It's so awesome.
So talk about that. Foster care, adoption, you guys obviously live it.
Yes, and you know what? We love it. And, you know, I don't know. We've been doing it now for 6 years, and it's something that, at first, it's hard because you want to control everything and you want to, oh, well, you know, when's the court date and what do we, oh, and what are we going to, And now we're just like, yeah, we're just going to live today because all that other stuff can change and, you know, they can go home tomorrow or they can stay with us forever. And we've been blessed enough to be able to, you know, we've got two that we've adopted out of the state system and we've got three right now that we're wrapping up and we're so thankful. We're so thankful that we've been able to be mom and dad to some kids that don't have mom and dad.
Yeah.
You know, and to be able to just look at them and love on them and know that we're the only ones that they know is mom and dad.
Right.
You know, so... And it's funny because, you know, our kids are like the UN. We have like every color, every nationality. And when I was younger, that was kind of my dream. You know, I thought I want just a rainbow family. And it's so cool now, you know, 10 kids. We've got Mexican. We've got Spanish. We've got Black. We've got Vietnamese. We've got Asian. It's
and
insane.
The good news for Clay is you guys did it the adoption way.
That's
which is probably the good way to do it.
No, because you don't want to know my response because some people aren't very nice.
He's going to kill us.
No, seriously. Some people are not very nice, and
they'll
be like, are these all your kids? And I'm like, yeah, my husband's really forgiving.
Oh.
And they're like,
And then you're sitting there going, yeah, don't ask dumb questions.
Seriously.
Right.
Seriously. Are they all yours? No, I'm like, really? And I'm like, what do you mean? Are you asking if I birthed them? Because that's none of your business.
Right.
You know?
Sorry.
That's not a very
question.
Godly answer, is
what?
It? It's none of your business.
But it's not a good grocery store question to begin with.
Seriously.
Like you're at the grocery store and some random stranger is just like judging.
They do.
Are those yours? Excuse me. I need to get some eggs.
Yeah. Pardon me. Can you get your 12 kids out of the way? I'm trying to get my eggs. You're like slowing my day down.
Man.
We do. Costco. Oops, sorry. There's a place in town that we like struggle because it's people are in a hurry.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't bring your kids. And I've always felt like my kids need to live life with me and not at the sitter all the time or with an older sibling. So
that's good.
We bring our kids everywhere.
It's profound.
It is. And grocery store. And everyone asks, for some reason, do you always take your kids to the grocery store? And I'm like, no, we lock them in the car, give them NyQuil, and go to the grocery store.
It's cool. We have iPads and NyQuil. It works.
And I'm like,
what
really?
What kind of question is that?
Like, the grocery store is the hugest obstacle parents have to get through in the day. It's like, yeah, of course we bring them. We show them that you don't touch everything.
Right.
You don't, you know, you can be helpful. You can. Yeah. It's amazing. It is. And with foster kids, it's necessary. There is another place in town that we can't bring our foster kids to because I don't know if it's the lighting or they have PTSD from when they were younger.
Right.
And seriously. And so there are some places we have to avoid, but for the most part, we bring them everywhere and take them shopping. And and it's really cool because they feel like they can help. And a lot of times it's not the case. You
it's
know?
Amazing those basic things that are either annoyances to us or we just don't think about, like going grocery shopping, that is a normal function for us, but for to a child who has grown up in a broken home or a crazy system where they're surrounded by addicts or abuse or whatever it is, something as simple as going to the grocery store is like freaking Disneyland.
Yeah, and we had an appointment actually switching over to Project Zoe. We had an appointment this last week, and it was a young girl. She was 16 and never wore a dress. 16 years old and was like, I've never worn a dress. So the girls got her to try on a dress and she loved it.
Yeah.
And that ended up being one of the outfits that she got. And I was like, that's bizarre. Like, even right. when she was a little girl, her mom wasn't like, no, you're wearing a dress. Because right. I've done that a few times. I've told my, excuse me, it's Easter. You're wearing a dress with patent leather shoes. I don't care. You know? And she was 16 and was like, I've never worn a dress.
Man.
Isn't that nuts?
It just reminds you to appreciate today.
Yeah.
You know, appreciate where God has you today. It really gives you a better perspective on life and those very things.
Well, and the things that, like you said, are annoyances or, you know, I know a lot of girls that are like, I don't like to wear a dress because I'm a tomboy. And
right.
And this girl just never had an opportunity to wear a dress. It wasn't that she didn't want to. It was just, I just wear whatever I have. And, you know.
My greatest comparison thinking about that, seriously, last week we went to Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
We were out in L.A. We do too, right?
Can you tell my husband to take me to Disneyland?
No,
he hates Disneyland.
No. It's not that he hates Disneyland, because you love Disneyland and he loves you, so he loves Disneyland. What he doesn't love is the cost, because you have 147 children. Here's
and they
the
don't put my discounts.
Do you want to hold another baby, or do you want to go ride the Matterhorn, all True. Right?
That's a good point.
Take it back, Michelle.
That's a solid point.
I know.
So we were there, and we were like little kids. We were going crazy. We were riding all the rides, and we were running around and dragging our friends with us. And our friends who live out there who have season passes are just like, yeah, you know, sometimes we'll come down here and have lunch. And it's just because to them it's an everyday thing.
Right?
It's not a big deal. And so to me it's like, the perspective is hilarious, because for us, it's like, this is magical. I better experience everything today, because it's going to be 6 years before I come back to this place.
Yeah.
So I just want to love it all right now. And they're like, yeah, I mean, I might come back tomorrow for like lunch, maybe catch, you know, the Space Mountain or something, you know. This is just what I do every day. And we're like, what?
Yeah.
Come on!
Unbelievable.
So something like taking your children to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Freaking enjoy that, parents.
Yeah.
You know,
and I'm not saying it's not stressful, because it is.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Put the Twinkies down. We're not getting Twinkies.
Right. I used to go hide everywhere. If we went to a clothing store,
oh, in the
I was gone.
You were that kid,
and I would get in trouble.
Oh yeah,
not just from my mom, from the store employees.
Right.
Oh,
because they had those round ones.
Yeah, they'd be hanging
hide
stuff
inside
up,
the dresses,
and then they'd go, and I'd be like, hey. Just hide. Don't tell anybody.
It's a fort. It's a dress fort.
Yeah, it was
Come
fun.
On.
I know. They should have thought that through.
Yeah, those round
the
ones
design.
When you were a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the best hiding
it was.
Spot.
It was.
I mean, come on.
It
come
was.
On now.
Or try to go be a mannequin in the window. Because you're convinced nobody can tell the difference. But the most terrifying thing when you're a kid is when you get lost from your parents in a huge supermarket.
Right.
Or like
right.
a Walmart type store.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrifying, because you're like, they're never going to find me. They're never going to find me again.
It's the biggest place I've ever been
to
in my life.
I'm going to get kidnapped. I'm going to have to live here.
Yep.
There are some benefits. There are toys.
See, I'm psycho crazy parent at stores, and I always blame it on just my L.A. mentality. I'm like, okay, kids that can't ride in the cart, the toddlers have to hold on to the cart.
Yeah.
So I'm pushing this cart and dragging kids behind.
They're like on the cart on the side.
No, seriously. They're like holding and like trying to keep up, and they've got little short legs, and I'm like, poor things. You know, they're not going to probably have good memories of going to the
grocery store. I have these memories. That's how I grew up. My mom, single mom, three kids.
Uh-huh.
And so it was me and my brother were on the sides, each side of the
cart,
because we had to balance it out, right? And then my sister was holding on to the front of the cart.
That's right.
Because all three of us were too big to sit in the cart.
That's right.
So we were around the sides. And then if we got like a six pack of Coca-Cola or something, you know, that had to line the side of the cart. And then it was like an adventure, because you had to try and figure out how to hold
on. That's right. That's my kids. They're all,
loved it.
And then if someone's coming down the same aisle, the opposite direction,
yep.
And the kids are all,
Yeah.
How do I get out of the way?
Hey, that's up to mom to figure out how to drive that bad boy. I stick my butt out. What?
Yeah.
Get by us now, lady. What? It was awesome. I was that kid. Me and my brother were always trying to like tip it. We were the worst.
One time, myself and my two sisters stood on the front of a buggy.
And flipped, because
all the groceries were in there. We had been riding, and we're at the checkout, and they took all the groceries. And we were little. And the buggy just went boom, right on top of us, and we were on the ground, and my mom's like, no!
And then you probably got your butt beat.
Oh, man.
Because you scared the life out of her.
Well, of course. She was letting us ride on the front.
Isn't that ironic? It was her fault.
Nobody. Well, I'm a kid. I'm going to do what kids do, which is make mistakes.
Is it ironical that your parents would spank you because they thought you were going to hurt yourself?
Well, yeah.
You almost hurt yourself. Come here and let me hit you.
That's right. That's right. I remember those times.
Oh, yeah. Nowadays, you go to jail.
You almost got hit by a car, you know. So I'm going to beat you.
Right. I'm so glad you're alive. Come here. Let me spank you right now. I'm going to spank you because I love you so much.
That's right. Now when my kids get hurt, we always call them natural consequences.
those were the natural consequences.
Like you're calling them, come here. And they're running from you, and they run into the wall, and you're all, thank you, Jesus.
Gosh.
Yep. We do.
Hanky in the air.
We do.
Gosh. All of a sudden, your house became Tyler Perry's house of drops.
So when they get hurt, you're like, natural consequences. But then if they miss, you go, common grace. Common grace.
Incredible. Michelle Schroff in studio with us from the Aspen Project and Project Zoe. Let's talk about Project Zoe for a minute and what you've got going on.
Oh, well, first, Project Zoe is a ministry outreach to young ladies between the ages of 13 to 25.
Yes.
That are at risk. And that can be anywhere from incarceration to flunking out of school, drugs, any of those things.
Yeah.
As long as you have a sponsor, fill out a sponsorship form. We'll get you in. It's a one-on-one appointment where you come in, you pick out 3 articles of clothing, 3 accessories, and then hopefully at the end of that appointment, you're interested in, you know, getting involved in a workshop or, you know, in anything. I mean, we just like you to come hang out. Some of the girls actually want to even volunteer, which we're like, cool, yeah.
Yeah.
We could use someone doing laundry. But it really is a great opportunity to involve girls that are at risk in a community that they're giving back. And it's really hard to feel sorry for yourself when you're helping someone else.
Right.
You know? And and that's what we've noticed is the girls that really want to help out, they're the ones that are like, I'm lonely. I don't have anyone to hang out with. My friends aren't my friends anymore. I've made a decision to walk away from this lifestyle. And it's really cool to see them blossom. And we're like, oh my goodness. You know, and we're always telling them, you know what? There's a future and a hope for you.
Yeah.
And they always go, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And we're like, well, now that you asked.
Right.
You know, and it's a really great opportunity to share who Christ is. You know, I don't know if you heard the lady speaking last night. She's a missionary in Jordan.
Right.
60 years she's been a missionary in Jordan. You know, I've got girls that are coming, you know, to Project Zoe that we're like, we have a captive audience. I mean, she's working in this lady is a missionary in Jordan, and she has a hospital where they deal with chronically ill folks that have TB with the Bedouin tribes, which are the lowest of the lowest as far as the, you know, class system goes. But I'm blown away because I'm sitting there and she's like, you know, if we can get one person to come to Christ in a year, that's like major success.
Man.
And I'm going, the girls that we see every day are just so hungry and thirsty. And they're just like, please give me hope.
Yeah.
You know, because I've looked everywhere else. You know, they're not living in a tent traveling across the desert. These are girls that have lived lives that, you know, 60-year-old people are like, what?
Right,
you did what?
Right.
And how old are you? 15? You know, and it's really cool to be able to just hang out with them, get to know them, and invest. And that's what Project Zoe is about. It's not just about giving them some clothes and saying, God bless you. It's about investing in them and who they are and really the future that God has for them. You know, some of them may, who knows, maybe Project Zoe owners at some point.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
They love it.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Well, what do you guys need? How can we help you?
Well, we could sure use some nail polish.
Oh, dude, hold on. I brought like 3.
Do you have
some?
He's got a lot.
You have some?
No!
Cool. And your manicure kit.
Okay.
You know, we're doing girls' nights, and we'd like to, you know, get some kits together that we can send the girls home with so that, you know, they can start, you know, maybe taking a little bit better care of themselves or, you know, teach them. We're trying to teach them how to do little nail decals, you know, just stuff that gets their mind off of what they've been doing. Because the biggest complaint that we've heard, especially with girls that are rehabbing, is they get bored.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I'm just kind of like, okay, let's meet them where they're at. Let's find stuff for them to do, whether it's let's do our nails. Let's do our hair. Let's think about, okay, what has God created us to be? Is it just to be beautiful girls, or is it let's start looking at the inside now?
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it starts with nails.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's some.
something as simple as a haircut,
yeah,
a shower. I mean, honestly, those things. Last week we went to, you know, when we were out there for this movie, we had to buy suits and dress up. I felt fancy.
Yeah.
We were like, man, check us out. Look at us. There was confidence, you know. And so, like,
first things first, I'm a realist.
Yes. It was
so great. Did you guys meet anyone notable?
No.
No,
we did. We saw quite a few people. Well,
absolutely.
The only big star of the movie that we went to see that was not there was James Remar.
Yeah.
But the other guys were there. Mm-hmm. Marilyn Manson walked by.
What?
That was interesting.
Yeah, we met a few people at an after party.
Yeah.
A guy named John Savage.
That was hilarious. This actor, John Savage, he's been in a ton of movies. And he walked straight up to Mateo and goes, I know you, right? Yeah.
What?
And then I looked straight back at him and said, nope, I'm Matt.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
I don't know that guy.
You're so not enamored.
He was so not. No, we were both just
I love
like,
it.
Afterwards, it was like this sushi joint, and there was like this conveyor belt and all these different sushis and stuff, and people were grabbing like one plate, you know, with like two little pieces of sushi, and we were like holding them with our legs, like bouncing back to the table. We had like eight plates because it was like, this is all taken care of. We're like, yeah it is.
Hooray!
All right, we got you. Hey, keep that one coming.
But don't you look at things so totally different once you become a believer? Because I remember going to concerts, and you know, I'm from LA and met a ton of celebrities, and it's one of those things where back then I was like, oh my gosh, I just totally met Keanu Reeves. I mean, oh my. But it's like once you have a relationship with Christ, you're all
right. Exactly.
We don't even go to concerts anymore because we're like. Whatever.
I heard the CD is pretty good.
Yeah. It's hilarious. Clay and I talk about it all the time. Someone like, oh, we have free tickets to George Strait or whatever. And we're like,
George
we saw him
Strait.
A few times.
Yeah, I saw him when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That's pure country, my friend.
I grew up in Texas. Heck yeah, man.
Yeah.
The king of broken hearts.
That's right.
He doesn't know he's a king.
He's the godfather of country.
Whoa. Whoa. You know?
Dude, we were, how do we sidetrack so easily? We went camping this last weekend with my father-in-law.
You want to go camping?
He was driving us up and he goes, hey, I got some CDs if you want to listen to music. And so I pop it open and it was like George Strait.
Aww.
It was like all this classic country, classic country.
Right?
And going through the list and it was like, oh, this is going to be a long trip. This is going to be a really, really long trip. And then we got to a part and boom! No, that's Huey Lewis. It wasn't Huey Lewis.
Oh, gosh. Close
enough.
It was, yeah. There you go.
There it is. I hit the wrong button.
Hall & Oates.
He had the essential Hall & Oates, and we jammed Hall & Oates for 2 hours.
And it was so funny, because Jack and Luke, they were like, what is this? And I was like, you listen.
You listen.
This is good.
You might
this
learn
is good music.
Yeah. It was great. We're teaching our boys, man.
Well,
our boys.
Our boys. Got.
It's a modern relationship.
Co-owner.
We're a modern family.
Cool. Co-parenting.
Really? Yes.
I'm an owner.
I didn't even tell this guy last night. Here's the cool thing about bringing it back around to Aspen Project and everything. With that, you know, when Matt moved out here, he lived with me for a while, and Brody, our youngest. He believes that this dude is his brother.
Aww.
And last night it was so sweet because Chrissy had to go out, so it was me and the three boys, and Brody's got a fever right now, so I had him in the bathtub because, you know, nothing was making him feel better. Mm-hmm. He didn't want anything, and he was just, you know. And so I got him in the bathtub and kind of had to force him in there because he didn't want to take a bath in that moment. And so I said, Matt's coming over. Do you want Matt? And he said, yeah, Matt. And then he started patting the water next to him. And I was like, when Matt gets here, is he going to force Matt to take a bath with him?
No.
How is this going to work? Because that's what he does when he wants you to get in the bath with him. And I'm like, oh, how's this? This is going to be interesting. So
you'd have to leave the room.
Do I hold him while Matt's in the bathtub with him?
Guys,
do
come
I
on.
Call him now and say, bring some swim trunks?
Like, I'm getting uncomfortable. Luckily, by the time I showed up, he was done.
He was done. He was out of the bath.
But when I walked in, I heard Brody go, Matt!
Yeah.
Aww.
He loves Matt.
So you like foster Matt.
I do. You know,
see?
Matt was my first foster care situation.
See there?
Yeah, it was a negative outcome.
And then he got a forever
and then he grew
family
up.
With Dawn.
And I got a forever family with Dawn and Beans and Panda.
There it is.
And let me tell you something. Cats are not emotionally available.
No, yeah, they're not.
They are very... Well, Beans is.
Yeah.
Panda, tough
not
love.
So much.
Tough love from Panda.
So fostering Matt was a blessing in and of itself. You know,
yeah.
I thought I was helping a friend and in turn.
Look at that.
I was the one blessed.
That's right.
I wish I could say the same thing.
He's in therapy.
Oh, I learned the art of war. Against Luke Jeter.
Yes. AspenProject.org. Michelle Schroff.
And Project Zoe.
I love having you in here.
I love being here.
We have crazy conversations, but isn't that live? I mean, that's what it is.
It is.
It's fun conversations, but it's connecting and focusing in on what's important. And obviously, we talk about some crazy, stupid things. But at the heart of it, obviously, there is a heart for this next generation. There's a heart for the youth. There's a heart for those kids who don't have parents.
Right.
Who don't have that stable, quote-unquote, stable environment. I didn't have that growing up, you know? So it is my mission to make sure that my boys have a slice of that, you know? So, yeah, absolutely. We posted all the details at facebook.com/mystaticradio. Get there. Check it out. Yeah. Boom.
Damn.
I don't want to kick you out, but, you know.
Get out.
You don't have to go home. Whoa. You can't stay
here. Does that
mean,
did she kick
Turn
us out?
Turn the lights up. Turn
I think she
up.
Kicked
That's
us
right.
out.
It's 2 a.m. It's 2 a.m.
2 a.m. Go home.
It's closing time. Closing time.
God.
All right, coming up, we've got Theology Thursday, actually, in the 9 o'clock hour. B-Nix and Jarrett Pietro going to be in studio talking a little bit about the four views on war as a lot of crazy stuff going on in the Middle East.
Yeah.
So, gosh. That's going to be a hilarious conversation. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to it.
Right. I can't wait.
Yeah, going to be cool. You want to take a quick look at traffic?
Oh, God.
Traffic. Speaking of wars and rumors of wars.
We had somebody tell us yesterday that they rely on us for traffic, and I was like, because we didn't cover traffic.
We didn't.
There was one break where we did Batman impressions.
Yeah.
Which is great.
You can always count on us for...
That's the real traffic.
Know, covering important topics.
There is an accident, I-40 East at 6th Street. It looks like traffic is moving now around that accident, so that's good. Maybe they're clearing it out.
All right.
Also, there's a stalled semi, Gibson Boulevard East at I-25, and of course, the construction at I-25 in Paseo. If you can find an alternate route, you should take it.
Do it.
I do not recommend... What's this one? Montaño?
Yeah.
Good luck with that, too, because that's everybody else's alternate route.
Right.
You need an alternate route.
That's exactly why
you need
why
to find a mystery.
Radio. I feel like our listeners do find that because they have Static Radio, which is the alternative station.
Steve-O and I have started to build an underground tunnel.
Yes.
It's somewhere between Paseo and Montaño, and that's what we use.
Yeah, fine.
And we're not going to tell any. Doug knows.
Yeah.
Doug knows.
That's pretty great.
Celeste doesn't know. Mitch doesn't know. Daniel doesn't
They're
know.
Not, oh, Daniel's a West.
Maria Island. Knows because she's our boss, but that's the only reason
that's
she knows.
That's the only reason.
And she doesn't even use it because it's no girls allowed. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by our secret underground tunnel.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Also Solomon's Porch.
It that's leads right
practical.
To SoPo.
Yeah. 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. Thanks for enduring us today.
Amen.
You know.
My pleasure.
There you go. All right.
Chick-fil-A?
Coming right back. Lynn Forrest, some Andrew Bell, and more Team Austin Morning Party.
Nah.
Static.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo, featuring pastors Brian Nixon and Jarrett Pietro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
What? Welcome.
I heard Mateo was famous.
Yeah. Infamous.
You heard right, friend. Why did you hear that?
I was listening to Static Radio actually this morning and heard that you were walking somewhere, maybe in LA or something like that.
In Memphis.
And someone was like, "Do I know you?"
Oh, yeah. He was walking.
Yeah, John
in Memphis.
Savage. He came up and he said, "I know you, right?" And I said, "No."
Yeah.
Because he didn't know.
Shut it down.
I never met that man in my
life.
Who's John Tavish?
John Savage.
He's an actor.
John Savage.
He's been in a ton. Here, I'll pull up his picture on the internet.
Yeah. And you go, oh, yeah, that actor guy. He was in
Well, he knew you? Because
he thought he did.
We were
at like this after party thing, and everybody thought they knew everybody else.
Yeah,
it was
like all just games.
Rubbing elbows and, hey, right. I know you.
This guy.
Hey, let's connect. Yeah. Let's hang out, man.
He's been in a ton of... He's literally been in so much
stuff. Deer Hunter.
Thin Red Line, Hair, Message in a Bottle, Godfather Part 3, The Deer Hunter. Yeah, tons.
Don't know him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we didn't know him either, but he knew Matt. Yeah.
He knew Matt. Matt is famous.
So there you go.
Guys, I have a cult that y'all don't know about.
It is Theology Thursday. Welcome to the show. Today is going to be a very interesting show. We're excited. It's a new one.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about Matt's cult. Yeah, cult Matt, following, and we're going to dismantle it. So.
No. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm making so much money right now.
Man.
Don't dismantle it.
Last week, we were away in L.A., so we had a best of, talked about politics, a lot about politics, actually. And to kick it off, I found a list. Yes. This is a very important list. 538, they released the results of a poll of Americans' opinions on the Star Wars universe as far as internet favorability. And they put that up against all potential 2016 candidates who could be running for president. So they took a list of favorability ratings of Star Wars characters and real-life politicians. And it was amazing because on the favorability scale, the first five most favorable people are all fictional Star Wars characters. Not politicians at all.
That's ironic, I think you would
number
say.
Number one, obviously, is Luke Skywalker, followed closely by Han Solo, Yoda, Darth Vader, Boba Fett. And then right after that, of all people, is Hillary Clinton the favorability rating. Yeah. Yeah, Hillary Clinton and Mike Huckabee were actually like neck and neck as far as favorability. On the very, very, very bottom,
Luke Skywalker.
As far as negative favorability, number one, Congress.
Yeah,
it's like real people at the very bottom of favorability.
I disagree with this list because I would have put Han Solo first because he's an adventurer. To me, Luke, it took him a while.
Hey, you know what?
He had to get his hand cut off to start taking things seriously.
You know what, though? You can be Han Solo all day long. I will be your Luke Skywalker.
No, I'm R2-D2. Oh. Because if you go back and look at all those movies, you watch him. He's the one that really saves the day in every movie, including the prequels. Go back and watch. Well, he does some little thing, and then everything works out.
Well, then you're not even on the list of favorability.
Good.
R2's not even on the list. Jar Jar Binks, however, he's way down there on the favorability. In fact, he's in the negative, along with John Bonner, Nancy Pelosi, Rick Santorum, Joe Biden, Jeb Bush. If you look at this list, Barack Obama is somewhere in the middle, and there's this giant... Emperor Palpatine has a more favorable rating than our president currently.
That is amazing. You know, to me, though, I think, where's Chewbacca in all of it?
That's funny. He's a sidekick. He's not there. Oh, so,
come on.
Much like R2 and C-3PO, he falls to the wayside.
He's kind of like the Congress, right? He's just supporting
The reason I wanted to pull this out, though, in all honesty, is we're talking about war today. We're talking about what's going on in the Middle East. And let's be honest, this culture, there's not a lot of knowledge. Luke Skywalker has a more favorable rating than our president or any potential candidates who are actual real politicians trying to do something in Washington.
Amen.
So, we know more about Star Wars lore than we do about actual real life. So, I know, Beenix, you've been over there biding
silent
your time.
On a serious note.
Joe
seriously.
Biden, your time, if you know what I'm saying. Little political joke there for you. So, That's how I do.
That was a good one, Steve-O.
Thanks,
Joe
buddy.
Biden, my time.
Just Joe Biden, your time.
Yeah.
But honestly, we're looking at this list and we're seeing all of these people in pop culture who have a higher favorability rating than actual candidates who want to run for president in 2016. Does it show that as a culture we just kind of have no freaking clue what's going on?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to say a broad brush that every single individual doesn't know what's going on.
Just tell them all they're morons.
But I would say, generally speaking, Americans, because we are very sheltered in so much, not only in the political realm, but in the societal realm, you know, when it comes to hunger and poverty and all of that, we're sheltered. So we don't always have the full disclosure. You also notice simple things, like when you go World News Tonight with, you know, and you fill in the blank, it really has less to do with world news than it does with our own little cultural news, some pop news, all of this type of stuff. And then you turn the channel and you watch BBC News, and it's truly world news. So we, as Americans, I think, aren't as informed of things going on in the world. And so it wouldn't surprise me that we let pop culture lead in the area of politics. But the reality is, there are serious things happening in the world.
Yeah.
You know, before our eyes, we have three conflicts. We have the Ukrainian-Russian conflict. We have the Israeli-Gaza conflict.
Right.
We have America involved in, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan and, you know, intertwined with all of this stuff. But generally speaking, most Americans were detached from that. You know, it's like, oh, that's what they do. We're just going to keep, you know, wondering what Luke Skywalker's doing.
Well, I think everybody was mostly wrapped up in the conflict between Germany and Argentina, which we all saw how that turned out.
That's right. Germany did win.
Thankfully, that conflict is over. So Germany won.
World Cup.
Yeah. So that was probably the most world news that our culture was involved in.
That's right. But the reality is Christians should be a different breed of people.
Okay.
We should not be ignorant bystanders, infatuated, and engulfed in the culture to the point where we become ignorant of those things around us. The last thing a Christian should be is an ignorant individual who has no bearings of what's going on around them in their own culture, but around the world. We truly are the universal church. Yeah. As part of the universal church, we need to be people who are yearning to understand what is going on around the world and really keep one eye out, because ultimately some of these things plausibly could have end time connotations. Not saying what's going on right now does have end time connotations, but you know, there's that plausibility. So I do think there is a time to be sober and there's a time to have fun, but we're having both right now. We're having fun and sober-minded.
Yeah, I am part of that culture. Right. I can tell you way more about the Clone Wars than I can about the three wars that are actually happening right now. So it became very real for Mateo yesterday when he realized some friends of his who are currently in Israel are actually stuck there.
Yeah, my buddy, well, he was here for our Share-a-thon, Jason,
yeah,
who used to sing for High Flight Society. He's a bass player and disciple now. He and his wife went over. And it was funny because when they were leaving, Dawn was like, do they know what's going on in Israel right now?
Right.
And then I was like, do I know what's going on in Israel right now?
She had what to do tell you mean? Me.
Dawn
you
know? Is awesome. Yeah. She's adamant about like knowing what's really going on. Yeah. She follows BBC. Like, she texts me BBC articles all the time.
Good for her. Yeah. I like Dawn.
I know. She's super smart. Everybody likes her. Whatever. But anyway. Yeah, so then they get over there, and of course, a couple days ago, like we all saw, first it was Delta, and then it was all these other U.S. airlines are like, no, we're done flying to Israel indefinitely.
Yeah.
Because a plane got diverted from Tel Aviv to Paris, and it was like, whoa! And they found missile debris or something. And so now they're stuck. Jason put up a status yesterday, and he was like, well, I guess the Holy Land either really likes us or the U.S. today is just really afraid of bringing us home because we're here.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so friends stuck over there, a lot going on. So I wanted to, you know, dive in.
Let's dive in, let's take it from a large perspective, looking at some different theories of war, and then maybe we could get into some practicalities, and even Jarrett could chime in, I'm thinking, later about, you know, some of the ramifications of end-time events, and, you know, that's one of his interests. But when we're talking about, you know, Christians' involvement in war, we must say, like every other topic within theology or, the church, there's lots of disagreement.
Right.
There are people on all sides. There are all shades and stripes. But generally speaking, most perspectives on war fall within four categories. And the categories have different names, but the four that I'm going to be using are called pacifism, is number one. Number two is non-resistance. Number three is the just war theory. And then four is preventative war, or what some people call the Crusades.
Oh, I thought it was nuke 'em.
Yeah.
Nuke 'em and let God sort 'em out.
That's exactly right. And that's kind of more of the Crusade mentality. So quickly, let me define those four for you. Pacifism is the stance that it is wrong for a Christian to be part of any war or to be a killer of anyone. And they are stringent on that point. Some of the Christian churches that have pacifistic history, obviously the Mennonite, the Brethren, and the Quakers are the three most pronounced pacifist groups, but you get pacifists in other denominations as well. But the Brethren, Mennonite, and Quaker, that is part of their doctrinal stance, that you do not kill anyone. And as we pointed out 2 weeks ago, their kind of saying would be, when Jesus says, love your enemy, I don't think he meant kill him.
Right.
So that's basically, you could summarize it in that. The second group is non-resistance. And that is that Christians may participate in war, but only as non-combatants, meaning you can't pick up a gun, you can't do any kind of involvement that harms someone. So they would say Christians could come in as chaplains, as medics, as truck drivers, any role that is directly not involved with shooting someone. So that's the idea of non-resistance. The just war theory says that Christians may participate in, you know, a defensive war to protect your country, your personal freedoms against aggression. But you have to point out, the just war theory is saying you can only participate in a war that is just or defensive. You never go on the offensive in a just war theory. And let me stop before we get to the fourth one, that Christianity throughout the ages has fallen in one of those three camps.
Okay.
Historic Christianity, when you look at it in its totality, most of the early Christians were pacifists. And then by the time of the golden age of church fathers, such as Augustine and others, they got into non-resistance and the just war theory. It wasn't until more recently, you know, particularly in the 19th and 20th century, that the preventative war idea came out. And the preventative war theory is basically saying that a Christian can engage in war on any level, to stop attack, to correct injustice, to, you know, as you said jokingly, Steve, but to bomb and let God sort it out and all, you know.
I've seen those bumper stickers right next to Jesus fish.
That's exactly right. So the preventative war, what some people call the crusade mentality, is part of you know, a legitimate idea within the church. But historically speaking, has been frowned upon within theologians, biblical scholars. Usually someone falls within the pacifist, non-resistant, or just war camps. But like I said, the preventative war has become more popular in the last 200 to 300 years. So that's it in a nutshell. We could delve more into those, but I just wanted to give that out before we really begin to talk. And Steve-O, you never gave out the phone number.
Yeah, it's 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700 if you'd like to hang out for Theology Thursday. You can also email us, studio@mystaticradio.com, or join us on Facebook, facebook.com.
And particularly if you're someone in the military, maybe you're a Mennonite listening in town, maybe you're a Quaker. I don't think we have any brethren churches.
Love your oatmeal.
Anyone who may be one of these stances, pacifism, non-resistance, just war, even the preventative war. Love to hear from you. I think it's important to have people chime in.
And you know, Brian, I like that in this sense of, this is a serious thing that we obviously have going on around the world. And, you know, it's funny because even yesterday as I was reading even about Obama, my heart went out to him as a president just to be praying for him because of everything that is going on. But, you know, also to add to that with the different views, and those are excellent views, I'm also reminded just a simple passage in the Bible where James talks about, he brings up the question of where do wars or fights come from among you? And he's referring to this more within the body of Christ. Where do they, you know, why is there dissension? But he does give us an overarching view of, you know, on a grander scale, why a war could happen. But he says they come from the desire that is within you for the pleasure of war within your members. He says that you lust, you do not have, you murder, you covet, you can't obtain. And so you fight and you war because you have not, because you ask not. So there is this, you know, wars from the beginning of time, you know, when sin entered the picture, there's always this going to be, you know, tension, if you will, between each person. Cain and Abel, if you want to you know, minimize what war is, you know, Cain and Abel, that's there's your first war.
Well, and there's a war within our members.
Exactly.
You know, our flesh and our spirit are constantly warring, you know.
Absolutely.
There are things I want to do that I'm not doing, things I don't want to be doing that I'm still doing.
But in addition, you know, even, you know, and that's a great point, you know, that we have that, we experience that, you know, in the struggle. And but then you take that on to one person, to two people, to an army, and then a nation. You have what you see around us. I mean, I think today my heart goes out to, you know, there are Palestinian believers there that are in Gaza that we pray for, that have lost family members, a tremendous amount of Palestinian Christians. And then on the other hand, as a believer with Israel, ultimately in God's eyes, we think of God's heart for Israel, but not all are saved there. You think they're, you know, Christ isn't their Messiah necessarily. Many are, you know, Messianic Jews, if you will. But, you know, there is a struggle or a where do you stand, you know, and the war even now with Israel and Gaza specifically, not to mention Ukraine and Russia and now in Iraq with the Christians being kicked out. I mean, it's just all over the place, right?
Absolutely, You're listening to Theology Thursday, 505-338-3700, the phone number. And as we talk about these wars, man, you just mentioned a few. And off the air, we were talking about Israel in general, because even amongst Christians, there's the we defend, we back no matter what. I know, you know, growing up in my home, it was, you know, Baptist and Republican. And we were all, you vote for the people who side with Israel, period, the end. And if this person isn't protecting Israel, then they're obviously of the devil. Where biblically does that line up as far as, you know, theologically, is it something that, okay, we as Christians, we always, period, the end, will back Israel?
Yeah, let me start with this. And I know Brian can take a different view. And I would even challenge Brian to take more of, let's say, the Palestinian view, or even just what a lot of the, even the rights around the world.
And that's what we do on Theology Thursday. But we're just presenting different takes.
Let me take the side of Israel, if you will.
Okay.
And I would say out of Isaiah 2, and this is just out of the scriptures, but it does mention that it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of his mountain, and it will be exalted on the hills, and all the nations will flow to it. Many people will come. They will say, let us go to the mountain of God, to the house of Jacob, which is in Israel there, of course, Jerusalem, and teach, let's have him teach us his ways. For out of Zion will go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And then right after that, this is Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and he will judge between the nations, rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears, or their arms, or guns, if you will, into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore. Couple things there, and I'll turn it over to Brian, with just looking at it on a Christian perspective. We're told there that ultimately God will end war, and he says that he will rule from Jerusalem. I think oftentimes we can misunderstand that for the current situation, because he's speaking about his body, his kingdom being established in Jerusalem, and all we can't say that all those in Israel are of his kingdom,
right?
Because we'll be there, and we're not there right now. So that's yet future. But it's interesting that God, his heart is not for war, although he has talked about the Lord of hosts, and he's a warrior. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But so Israel, God says that his favor is upon them, the mountains of Israel, the location, the land, the house of Jacob, literally going back, threading to time, and then thinking about how he will bring the nations to him to learn war no more and judge them and rebuke many people. So that's where I think as a believer, oftentimes we side with Israel because we know God's heart towards Israel, but when we it really comes down to defining who Israel is.
Yeah.
Is it today, modern Israel? Is it all the people in Israel living there? Is it the kingdom of God? And for a believer, we should know that it's bigger than just the nation today. It is the kingdom of God. So,
all right.
But Brian, what are your thoughts on that Israel versus where do you stand versus taking Palestine's, you know, the Palestinian view or Israel's view?
Yeah, well, I'm going to back up even before I get to that, because I did appreciate what you said about the big picture, that God, you know, really ultimately is not an advocate for war.
Right.
You know, God, you know, war is truly hell, and I know that's part of it, not in the realistic sense, but it's a very damaging, destructive, horrific thing, and it causes lots of turmoil, death, destruction, not just for individual families, but for societies and cultures for years to come. So it really does have a damaging effect. But with that, you know, coming to Israel, you know, Israel does have a right, I believe, to defend itself.
Right.
The question is, you know, that's more non-resistance. That sure, you could defend yourself. You could get in a defensive modality, or even falls into just war theory, and we would agree with that. Where we would say, where are you crossing the line is in what we get into that preventative war area of taking kind of like this crusader of going into a country and being the aggressor, what we would call the hawk. Is that the Christian response? Well, obviously, Benjamin Netanyahu and a lot of the leadership in Israel, they're not Christians. So they're not going to necessarily take it from a Christian vantage point. However, as Christians on both sides, both Israelis and Palestinians, we need to transcend country boundaries. Our kingdom is not of this world. Christians, irregardless of race, creed, color, disposition, when you are a Christian, your kingdom is not of this world. Therefore, our first and primary responsibility is to the kingdom of Christ, to the church of Christ. Therefore, I think one of the serious considerations Christians have to take into hand is that when I am in an aggressive mode going to war with another country, am I killing other Christians? Yeah. Am I enacting hate and violence upon brothers and sisters in the Lord? Because irregardless of my country, that's secondary to my real purpose as a Christian, and that's the kingdom of God. So I think Israelis, though, again, there may be some Christians in the Israeli army, you know, are they disqualified from the Christian normative? Probably. But at the same time, Christians need to sit there and go, we, as Christians, really need to think hard about this, because if I take up arms against another country, am I doing harm to my fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord? And so if I was in the Israeli army and I was told to go into Palestine to, let's say, bomb a church, or not that they're saying go bomb a church, right, get me out, but they're hiding in the church, I would have to really stop and think about if I should do that, because I would be inflicting harm upon my family.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Christians have to really step back and really get a broader narrative rather than just jumping on the bandwagon of this is what America does, this is what Israel does. America and Israel are not the church. It's not part of God's kingdom. God's kingdom are those who are found in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So we have to think, act, mold ourselves, be conformed into His image.
You know, I think of two things actually when you say that, and I love that. It was great, Brian, just to think about, you know, the boundaries that we're, you know, often refined to and take opinions and perspective on. But I'm also reminded of like what's going on in Iraq with, you know, just, you know, ICE and all that, you know, kicking the Christians out. And, you know, we're seeing things that Christ spoke of that would happen before he comes back. And so on one level, it's exciting because, you know, Christ is coming. But here you have real people who are leaving their homes, their way of life out of Iraq even, on another note, you know, even in Palestine, running for their life, that are believers because of the threat of whether it's the jihad, the tax, or, you know, as a believer that they would die if they stayed. And yet they're running. Now, if some people decide to stay there, do they have every right to defend themselves? Absolutely. But most likely, they will be martyred for their faith, just like in Christian church history we have, where is it wrong to defend yourself? Not at all. And then, on the other hand, I also think, let's say you're a soldier and you're in the military.
I'm glad you're bringing this
and
up.
And let's say I'm a believer, but I went to the military and now I'm in Afghan or, you know, Iraq or, you know, even right now, maybe, you know, fighting somewhere. And you're thinking, man, I'm a believer and I've had to do things that, you know, have really challenged my faith. And, you know, I think of the turmoil that maybe they're dealing with and, you know, what do? They can't say no to their sergeant and such, you know, and you do your job, if you will. What do you do with that? Does it negate your belief? Does it, you know, how does that challenge a person? And those are big questions.
Big questions.
But on the other hand, I would say, as a believer, you know, as you follow the Lord, regardless of what you do, because, you know, God speaks about, you know, on the other hand, even though I mentioned him taking, you know, plowshares and or swords and turning them to plowshares that God once wore no more, we're told also in Revelation 19, in the balance perspective, that God will, in righteousness, and here's the idea of motive behind responding in a war, in righteousness he judges and God makes war. So, but it's in righteousness he does it. So God will make war, we're told, and he does it, but in pure righteousness and holiness. Yeah. I would say for the person maybe struggling with that and is in the military listening to this even, is that you be obedient to the Lord, you know, and even as knowing that if you went in believing, to, again, with the justice that you are, you know, doing what God has called you to do, then I'd say, you know, according to the word, that you're doing what the Lord's... Because we have a military. We defend ourselves. Yeah. America, there are many Christians within the military, not only America, around the world, I think... Russia, Ukraine, there's a lot of believers within the fighting, you know, if you will.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and I think, and great points again, and Jared, I think, again, keeping the larger narrative in our mind is very important, that, you know, the Lord will one day bring to an end all war, all things. But another thing we also have to stand back when we look at Revelation and even some of the God-ordained battles in the Old Testament, we have to divide between God-led... Those battles, wars that the Lord himself led,
right,
and those that humanity led. You get God leading the nation of Israel, and it was truly a theonomy. God himself was in charge of the nation. That's no longer the case. God is no longer in charge of America. I mean, ultimately, we know God is in charge of all things, but he's essentially, for all intents and purposes, taken his hands off this, and he turned it over to the kings in the Old Testament. Mm. And then you found, when the kings took it over, their wars were not as just. And as a matter of fact, you start seeing, particularly with the prophets start criticizing the kings for their unjust treatment, their unjust wars, how they treated the poor, the helpless. So when you look at Revelation, that is a God-ordained war. What we have to stop as Christians and look at is each war individually, each conflict individually, and go, is this truly just? Is this something that God would have me do? And that's why it is a very, very tenuous question. It really requires a lot of faith. Because, Jared, you nailed it. Let's say you go in the military, and you're gung-ho to support your country. And of course, we're backing our military. We love those men and women who are serving the Lord. Yeah. But here's the crisis. The crisis is you are the militaries. You do what they tell you to do. So if they tell you, here's an AK, whatever those guns are, and you need to go over to this country, and you need to shoot up these people, you have to do it. And if you decide all of a sudden, well, I can't do this, you're either, you're imprisoned, there's a lot of different scenarios that come from it.
Yeah.
So Christians truly have to have a well-thought-out reason of entering war.
Yeah. Man, I immediately thought of, I don't know why, you know, we're talking about being the aggressor versus, you know, defending. And I, you know, my grandfather was at Pearl Harbor when it was attacked, when it was bombed. And I immediately thought of that last great war and storming the beaches of Normandy. And, you know, it's obviously, as a kid, you know, my perspective, and I say kid as in now in my 30s, still a kid, thinking of what those men and women did, storming those beaches and doing that to overthrow a tyrannical, I'm going to call it an empire, how about that?
Yeah.
And, you know, with what Hitler was doing and everything going on.
It's tough. Yeah.
So, because I'm like, no, man.
It is.
Freaking freedom. You know, they went over there and they ended it. You know, so were they the aggressor because they're storming the beaches?
No,
theoretically speaking, America's involvement in World War II, we were not in what we call a preventative war. We were in what we would term a just war.
Okay.
That we were not the aggressors. We were in a defensive war.
We didn't start it, but we sure as bleep finished it.
We were defending.
Yeah. And let me say this. Yeah. You know, I just watched this interview with Benjamin Netanyahu, and he was talking about, and right away when I was thinking, man, Israel's pounding Gaza into the ground, literally. And it was interesting because after I watched this interview with Benjamin Netanyahu, it made me realize just how, you know, in many ways I sided that much more with what Israel is doing, because he began to mention that in 24 hours, the reason that what precipitated the ground operation was that they were Hamas was shooting over 2,000 missiles in a 24-hour period. That's unbelievable. He said, you know, it'd be like 75% of America being bombed at one time. He says, how would you feel about that?
Right.
Washington, New York, San Francisco, you know, Albuquerque, New Mexico. What would you do? You respond, we have a right to defend ourselves. Yeah. And with what's going on, he says, we've warned them. We tried these peace agreements. See, their first, what people don't realize is that there has been, you know, a road to resolution with these peace treaties, but they've rejected Egypt. They rejected Israel, rejected, you know, the Arab League of Nations. They've rejected all of that. And their final thing was, If we had missiles coming in our backyard, and it was like, that's a statement by Hamas to them. It's like the bully on the block, and finally Israel got fed up, and they're taking the gophers out of the holes.
Is it possible to truly, and I ask this question in all honesty, is it really possible to get a balanced, truthful answer to what is going on places? Because you look at the two highest grossing documentaries of all time. Mm-hmm. Number one is Fahrenheit 9/11, that Michael Moore movie. Mm-hmm. Number two all time is Obama 2016?
I believe,
Those are the number one and number two highest grossing films of all time, documentaries of all time.
That's right.
And so one obviously is skewed so far left.
Right.
And then the other one is, you know, to be completely honest, I haven't seen either one, because then the other one you would assume is skewed so far right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about the BBC. We talk, you know, we can talk Fox News. We can talk CNN. We can talk blah, 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 blah.
And that's why it comes back to Christians need to be biblical.
Okay.
We need to Christian not look through the lens of CNN or BBC or Fox News.
Right.
We need to look through the lens of Scripture. What does Scripture tell us?
Yeah.
What does the historical Orthodox Christian faith tell us about these topics? And the sad news in all of this, to me, when it comes to Christians, we are so much more apt to believe Glenn Beck or someone like that than we are to believe the Bible. And we need to be people of the book. We need to return to the book. We need to get the greater narrative of what God is speaking through, not just from the beginning of times as outlined in Genesis, but when the consummation of all things happen there in the end of Revelation. So we need to be people who understand, know, and then promote and propagate a Christian worldview, because in that, we will find balance, I believe, because the Bible does talk about the city of man, so to say,
right,
and the city of God, or to put it in Jesus's terminology, give what is to Caesar Caesar's and what is God's God's.
Right.
And ultimately, that was talking about taxes, but the larger principles could apply. So there are biblical answers, I believe, to all these questions. Christians just need to have a revival. We need to wake up and get back to Scripture.
Hey, for fairness, real quick, I got to say something real quick for fairness because of fact checking. Number one all time is Fahrenheit 9/11.
Right.
Number four is Obama 2016. So they're the number two political documentaries. Number one and two, political, because number two is actually March of the Penguins, and number three is freaking Justin Bieber. So, so the Republicans came in at fourth. All right, sorry guys. Behind Biebs and Penguins, bro. So
You know, it is all perspective, though. You know, and whether you watch a documentary, you know, to me, it's like, you know, it's almost like going to a restaurant and you're having different, you know, choosing from a menu.
Right.
I think you need to really filter it all, as Brian was saying. You know, you watch BBC or you watch Fox News, or you may watch CNN or whatever news channel that you enjoy.
MSNBC, whatever.
And you stream it and you watch it. And what happens is that, again, you can walk away and just feel suicidal, first of all, because of it's never good news. It's bad news, right?
That's why somebody needs to change the news.
News
and do
is
something
bad.
Better.
You're right. Yeah. So to me, you got to filter it with the perspective of the Scriptures, the worldview, going, okay, we live in America. We're not being bombed right now. How would I feel right now if I was standing in the beach in Gaza or in the middle of the city with the most populated, densely area in the world, right in that small pocket? Or what if? How would I feel if I was an Israeli soldier having to shoot in that area? Right. You know, or what if I was in Iraq right now and I was part of the underground church there? How would I feel? And, you know, I think our perspective needs to change, because sometimes even, you know, as believers, or even with just a clear mind on world view, you can begin to be bent in a certain way and not understand the full picture. You got to understand what's going on here.
That's why I watch Homeland.
338-3700, 338-3700. Again, if you're in the military, you're of one of the peace church traditions, we'd love to hear from you. I mean, let's get someone to chime in on this. Yeah. We've spoken enough about this topic. Again, a very interesting topic, very somber topic, but at the same time, we'd love to hear from our listening audience. 338-3700, if you're out there.
Yeah.
If not, we could keep discussing this because it is an important topic.
Obviously, I'm biased to Theology Thursday. I love this show, but I think a big reason why I love this show so much is because we don't just say, all right, look, you had to grow up loving Ronald Reagan. You have to vote right all the time, because if you don't vote right, you're wrong. It's not one of those, hey, here is the correct stance. It is here theologically. Here are the, you know, whether it's the four different stances of war or whatever it is, we want it to be balanced. We want you to be able to use your brain and love God with all of your mind, and then decide for yourself as you
see. I think that's what's so important about
right.
it. Right. Because the thing is, what's funny to me is, if you look back on when Jesus showed up,
right,
the main perception of how he was going to come was going to be like a militaristic takeover. He was going to kick Rome out of Jerusalem, retake Israel, and establish his kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. So naturally, everybody thought military style, like the government, the kingdom.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that just creeps in with us. And to me, the encouraging thing, because I know, like, I remember when 9/11 happened. I remember watching, like, walking to my dorm room and things being all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, no, we've got to do it. We've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. It's a country song. Yeah. So seriously, but it's so important to remember, because so many of our news sources are totally skewed on both sides, on every side of things, that the encouraging thing to me is that we have a real, actual God who loves us and wants to speak to us, and we can engage him through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
A lot of times we don't do that. We just go read something, twist it into what we want it to be, be that from the Bible or from TV or from some book or something like that, and then we just go with it. And we don't actually approach it in prayer. We don't actually think about it. We just say, easy answer, boom, this is what I'm doing, because right now this seems great. And I think even with, and I have so many friends that I highly respect because they're in the military. My boy Nick over at the gym.
Yeah.
I have more respect for him than a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've never felt called to be in, like military, even from a kid. You know, you have the kids that want to be G.I. Joes.
Right.
And then you had the kids that wanted to be dinosaurs.
Right.
I wanted to be a dinosaur. Didn't work out yet. Still working on it. But anyway, I have muchos respect for him and all of our military. So
absolutely,
please don't take it like I'm talking down, because I don't feel that way.
Right.
I feel like there are times where we have to stand up and we have to fight back, because that's right.
Well, yeah. And, you know, this week we had a gentleman in studio, Alan Way, who was running for U.S. Senate. And we talked to him about this, because what we're saying here is this, you know, Beenix, you said it first, that our first calling, we are not of this world, that our kingdom is not of this world. So that is our first response. Now, the other side of that is, from a Christian perspective, then in turn people go, well, I'm not of this world, which means I don't have to care about what's going on overseas.
And that's false.
And I'm just going to stay out of everything. And I don't vote because I'm not a citizen of this country. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. And stay out of politics.
Again, that's because they're not letting the Bible lead.
Right.
Because the Bible, at the same time, says we're to be salt and light in this world.
Right.
And salt and light have, you know, obviously penetrating, influential components as part of them. So again, that's where we have to come back to the biblical narrative, the biblical story. What is the Bible telling us about these things? Because the Bible brings true balance. It's not left, it's not right, it's not Republican or Democrat, it's not, you know, it really is God's perspective on things. And when I look at the world in this very dark times when we live, the only thing I could really grasp onto and make sense of any of this is God's voice in the midst of this. Because when you step back and you look at the craziness of the world, you go, oh my gosh, these truly are dark times. Yeah. But we have to understand that God is here in the midst of all of this, and we have to hold on to the Lord. Speaking of which, you know, there is a new book by Oz Guinness called Renaissance, and it's the power of the gospel, you know, in dark times. And I would encourage a book like this for Christians to read to how, you know, to learn how to be a witness, how to stand for truth in the public square,
yeah.
how to stand for truth in whatever field you're in. Because ultimately, as the world gets darker and darker, Christians have to turn on the light.
Yeah.
And so to those people that would just say, hey, I just want to detach myself, that's not the answer. The answer is to turn on the light, and the light is the light of Christ.
Our boy Stevie Smotherman was in studio yesterday. Stevie, youth pastor at Legacy Church, in here talking about this conference that is kicking off tonight, actually a free conference at Legacy. It's called the I Am Remnant Conference, this national conference that they're doing here. And that's it. That's the idea, is that we are, if we are the remnant, if we are the last, if we are the only person in our city that loves Jesus, how do we correctly do that? And how do we shine bright like that? And so,
you know, I like that because I think of like a missional mind, and, you know, we just, you know, recently had someone that spoke here that directed, you know, just a reminder of how one-on-one evangelism as a person in an area where, you know, people are unreached and, you know, one-on-one daily speaking to people as if you're the only one. And, you know, there are many countries. I think of these countries we're talking about, like in Israel, whether you're in Iraq, Iran, even today, Syria for that matter. I mean, everything that's going on there right now in Ukraine and Russia. You know, the churches, I would say this to those listeners, is that we should be praying for the churches, individuals that are living in those countries and are, that's their daily life and they're dealing with that now. You know, I think maybe we'll have an awakening here in America where it'll be like that. I can't imagine. You know, we're so isolated in so many ways from war and it happening on our soil in that way, in comparison to, you know, what's going on around the world.
Yeah.
And so I just want to say, you know, we should be praying and thinking practically, financially, how to support these missionaries, to get involved in your local church and to be able to find out who the church is supporting in those areas and be a part of that, man. Yeah. Otherwise, you're missing. It's almost like I'm reading a book by Erwin Lutzer on where the church was within Nazi Germany. And it's challenging because, you know, you think, where was the Christian church? You
know,
now there were individuals making a change and, you know, he'll be speaking here soon. But to me, it's what will happen when this is all done and your grandkids come to you and say, you know, Grandpa Steve-O, where were you? What did you do? Did you know people were being killed in this? And you go, yeah, I was. But what did you do? And that's my biggest question. Where was America in World War II? Why didn't we step in earlier? And then also, where was the church in Germany to make a change?
And I like that, Jared. And I would encourage all Christians to take the, you know, what I will call the three P's of how to, you know, approach the topic of war, or really any topic. And the first P is that we need to pray to the Lord about what we should do, praying for individuals, praying for the situation. We need to be people of prayer. And then secondly, after we pray, we need to ponder the scriptures. We need to go and look at what the scriptures have to say about any situation, be it war, be it internal struggles, be it anything. We have to ponder and really think through those issues. And then the third P is we have to purpose in our heart. Once we have prayed and once we've pondered scripture and we've really said, I think this is where I stand in relationship to this, we have to purpose in our heart to act upon that. And there are some things that are very clear in scripture, and there are other things that we would say maybe not as clear. But again, as we pray through it, as we ponder scripture, and then we purpose in our heart, we could then act upon these things. And when you're talking about a serious topic such as war, you know, is pacifism the way to go? Well, you need to pray about it. You need to ponder scripture. Then you need to purpose in your heart. Is non-resistance the way to go? Well, you got to pray about it. Ponder scripture. Purpose in your heart. Well, am I of the just war theory? Well, pray about it. Ponder purpose. Am I an advocate
really
of preventative war?
Yeah.
Again, pray, ponder, purpose. And those three things will really help, I think, not only the Lord to speak to you in the situation, but I also think it will give the purpose the Christian needs in moving forward in these dark times.
Right on. It is Theology Thursday. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Let's go out to line one. Static.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. You know, I just feel, you know, I know that we are all God's children, both the Jew and the Gentile, putting it scripturally, that regardless of whether we are of a Christian church currently or not, it doesn't change the fact that we are all children of God. We are sensitive to His Spirit. And, you know, I really feel like we as a culture, if we step back and we think about the human race, there's so many people that have lived before us, billions and billions of people, unaccounted for because we don't have their history. But if we as a people could rise together and truly accept goodness, I think we have that capacity. You know, the world community at large, the internet has created such a mode of communication that, you know, if the law can be established everywhere, meaning if everyone can have a voice, be it through the internet, be it through democracy, that has to be laid down first. I'm all for it. Because I think, you know, I really think that, you know, that's what will call down God, is if we as a people have prepared his dwelling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, sure, there'll be angels in heaven backing us up, but they back us up here every day. If we, as the mortals, say, look, we've made this place clean for you, Christ will come, you know. You know, the wicked that dwell before us can receive that.
Great insight. And you know, it's interesting here when you hear a comment like this. We're very thankful that you did call in.
Thank you.
And really, what it boils down to, you know, you use the word children of God. You know, and biblically, a child of God is that person which has received Christ as Lord and Savior, or within a Jewish context, the Messiah, and has, in a sense, surrendered, turned their life over to Christ, and is being led by the power of the Holy Spirit into new life. And we could boil those down into three things. What we'd call justification, that is a person who has, again, received Christ. And then you have sanctification, that's the process by which that person is being conformed into the image of Christ. And then ultimately glorification, that is when that person dies and goes to heaven. Now, I know that wasn't specifically what you're asking, but the long-term effects of that has implications to what you're saying, that if we just all kind of got together and look at the bigger picture, could there be a semblance of harmony and peace and so on and so forth? And I would say yes, but it's within the context of how God has defined that. And that is what we would call, and particularly from a Calvary standpoint, we understand it from a millennial kingdom, when Christ is going to come down and establish his perfect peace, and things will be harmonized. There will be that time when we are, you know, moving in the same direction. But again, it's led by the Lord. The conflict now in this day and age is that Christians are working for the kingdom of God, and then there's the kingdom of man. And at times, those two worlds conflict. And the Christians need to be emphatic that we are first and foremost participants in God's kingdom, not always participants in man's kingdom.
I'm glad you said that, because there were two things that I immediately had to call into question. And because there are a lot of times where we say things that sound good, like that we are all children of God, and we've touched on that before, whether it was because Scripture talks about us, you know, being made in the image of God, then it's like, oh, well, we're all children of God, and that's, you know, I'm glad that you approached that first. Secondly, my question in his comment was this: hey, if all of us just got together and cleaned this place up, that will prepare the way for Jesus, but as far as we look at the book of Revelation and what is actually preparing the way for Jesus, isn't it these birth pains and these?
It's going to be
it's
chaos.
Like the opposite, right?
What we see now.
I think the one thing that I caught in there, the thing about I think he was talking about
us all being in the image of God when he said children. Because
right,
I remember one time we had a caller. He was like, well, actually, you have to, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I think that's semantics. That's what he was saying. But I, too, the example that we're given as Christians, you don't have to clean yourself up perfectly for God to come into your life.
Right.
He meets you where you are.
Right.
And so I think to apply that on a worldwide scale, like a global scale, I don't think that's the example we're given. And then also, it's awfully nice to trust in the fact that we're all good people and we're all getting better and that society as a whole is progressing. But I think over the past 100 years, we've proven as a people, as a worldwide people, as everyone made in the image of God, that that's not the case.
Right.
So
because wars have gotten worse.
Man. Yeah.
And death tolls have gotten more. We've made more weapons. We've done so much. And then you can go into the whole argument, because the next thing will be, well, yeah, but if we didn't have religion, then most of that wouldn't happen. And I would argue against that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's right.
No.
I think
right.
the problem is a sickness within humanity that obviously needs to be fixed. Yeah. And then that's where I would say Jesus comes in. But I think just relying on humanity to stand together, we've stood together this whole time. And it's never gotten better.
Right.
Yeah. And Mateo, bravo, well spoken, well stated. And I do agree. I think the gentleman that called, he was talking about the theological principle, what we call imago Dei, in the image of God. And that's a Genesis 1 principle that we are formed, we're fashioned in the image of God. But when we talk about the phrase children of God, that's more of a New Testament phrase that is clearly stating, specifically a Christian, a believer. But Matt, so well stated about, humanity's misunderstanding of it. And that is really a product of the Enlightenment.
Yeah.
And the Enlightenment was saying, hey, we're just progressing. Everything's getting better. Man, we're just kind of graduating, if you will, into godhood. But history has proven that otherwise. And ultimately, as you know, it is a sin problem that humanity faces.
We're placing works on it, basically, is what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. It's like, if we just do these things good enough, and if we just make it good enough, if we do, and that takes away the entire concept of grace.
Yeah, but to our caller's point is, you know, what I see and sense in that is the yearning that the world
Everybody
is not right.
Everybody wants there to be change.
The world is not right. Something is disjointed. Something's out of whack, and there needs to be some sort of reconciliation. Let's try to get together. The good news is, going back to what Jarrett said at the beginning, God does right all of that. He first sends Christ. Christ comes. That's God's vindication. But then ultimately, God will bring all of this into restoration during the kingdom.
And to anyone out there that's kind of, thank you, number one, to the dude that just called.
Absolutely.
Thank you for calling. I'm not trying to belittle your call or anything like that. Because I think, too, the problem with a lot of this is, and the reason people jump to religion being the problem is because as the Christian church as a whole, we haven't done the best job of conveying, Christ is the fixer and he is the summation. He's what we need. We haven't really done that. And again, it goes back to what we were talking about. It's because a lot of times as humans, we look for the easy answer. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, most times for me, that's not talking to God about it first. That's doing what I think's right. And usually in the moment, that's wrong.
Colossians chapter 2, it talks about asceticism. Asceticism being these lifestyle characteristics, abstinence from various worldly pleasures, pursuing religious or spiritual goals. This asceticism. And what Colossians says about asceticism, or these list of rules, is that these have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. So we can put all the rules and say, if we just did this, or if we just lived according to this, if we said, that's not going to stop the indulgence of the flesh, because as we've been talking this entire time, if Christ isn't satisfying us, isn't sustaining us, isn't fulfilling us, then all of the rules and all of the fluffy things that we wish we could do, we're never going to do, because our flesh is going to desire a different indulgence.
Yeah, transformation. Yeah. Brian?
I was just going to, for our listeners, people who listen on the podcast, the books that we would recommend from today would be Renaissance by Oz Guinness.
Yes.
And for those of you who really want to take a more in-depth view of their Christian perspectives on war, there's a book by Robert Klaus called War: Four Christian Views. Robert Klaus war for Christian Views. But appreciate it. Check out Facebook.
Yes.
Go to the podcast and share this.
Also, Soldiers Under God's Command by Striper. Highly recommend that record. It will give you a great insight into. Okay. All right. Well, that's it for
you
us.
You should at least play U2's War when we meet.
Oh, man.
Or Psalm 40 at least. Something like
that. Come on. Now you set me up and I don't have it. I don't have it anymore.
Instead, we have St. Vincent, Digital Witness.
Oh, man. We are out on the way next. Mid Dugs with Days, filling in for Mitch while she's on vacation.
That's right.
Until tomorrow. Gosh, amazing show.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It is Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static.